United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! Making it difficult to tap into the oil window, he's still very optimistic about the Utica.
But I'm confident that with increased technology, the producer segment that is out there trying to solve that problem will solve it in time. But in the meantime, we have the wet gas window and the dry gas window ready to go.
What I'm optimistic about is that this industry is not going to be here just for a couple years.
At the dedication, Governor Kasich shared Stice's optimism that the oil window will prove to be economical. And he looks for the fuel coming out of the ground to power Ohio's economy for generations to come.
So we got the dry gas, we got the wet gas, we've got the condensates, and we got oil. And part of the reason this facility is here and they moved all these hills is because there's gold in them there hills. That's what's working for us here in Ohio.
With this week's Drilling Down Report, I'm Michael Moliterno.
Turns out you can use the Internet to get a free quote on state minimum car insurance from Safe Auto. Just go to safeauto.com and see for yourself. The best part? It's quick and easy. You can also call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe, spend less.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Exciting new news from Giant Eagle, announcing yet another way to save. Now Medicare participants can earn fuel perks on out-of-pocket pharmacy expenses. That means for every $50 you spend, including Medicare deductibles and copays, you can earn 10 cents off per gallon of gas with fuel perks. Now you can maximize your savings when you move all of your prescriptions to one pharmacy. Our Giant Eagle pharmacists will keep a complete record of all your prescription medicines and cross-check for potential drug interactions, keeping you and your family safe while earning fuel perks. Start earning now with 10 cents off per gallon of gas for every $50 you spend, including Medicare deductibles and copays. Medicare participants earning 10 cent fuel perks on out-of-pocket pharmacy expenses. That's another Giant Eagle advantage. PACE prescriptions are excluded from earning fuel perks by Pennsylvania state law. Certain fuel perks programs or offers may not be applicable. Other restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 10 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the 30th of 2013, it's October. And I'm in a Rolls Royce mood, so we're going to go to car wash, and we're going to do some, I don't know what it is. And if you guys have never heard it, it was a group from the 70s, so you just, I know you don't know.
Yeah, I
You don't know.
Yeah,
your mic fell off. See there? What?
Yeah, I know who Rose Royce was.
You don't know who Rose Royce was. How do you know?
It's popular radio. It's top 40.
Top 40?
Yes, they were.
What, Car Wash was a movie, and it was top 40. And
there
that's
you
what
go.
It,
well, that's
but you don't know song. Rose. No, you don't know Rose Royce.
I saw two of those today.
What?
Old Rose Royces.
Not cars.
Believe it or not, I did. I seen they must have been from the 30s. There was, must be some kind of a car thing going on. I saw a 57 Ford on the way up here, and I saw two old Rolls Royces from like the 30s.
I saw one the other night, and it was a 2013, I think.
Oh.
I wasn't mad. But I just said, wow, must be nice.
Those people are keeping the economy going.
And they were spending money. They were spending money, but I said, "Wow, that's what I said." You know, you had this. I said, "It was a nice black one. It was pretty. It was clean." And I said, "Wow." Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and Steven Seagal is going to come and hang out with us at the bottom of the hour. But it looks like Matt is in the chat room and Diva's in the chat room. Brother Man is in the chat room, and then Diva's online. You know, I put stuff on my Facebook page, and I don't think people really understand. Sometimes you just use it as a marketplace, you know, or a placeholder.
Yeah, I do that.
If I see something and I want to go back and read it later, guess what I do?
I park it there.
I know where to find it. When I want to go back, unless the moss comes and just blows my page off and I can't find it, but, you know, that's what I do. I get beat up for putting stuff in on my own page.
Diva's been fighting Jeff all morning.
They got too much time on their hands. I just don't have that. I don't have that much time. They've been fighting all morning.
Yeah.
What are they fighting about?
Obamacare.
What about it?
Diva thinks it's great. Jeff thinks it's bad. And then you got the others that are chiming in saying that all these people that are saying they're losing their coverage are lying.
Well, my question is, somebody called me this morning with a great topic for today, and so we're going to talk to Steven Seagal from about 12:30 to 1, but when he gets done, we're going to come back and talk about what would be so bad if everything that Obama wanted became true?
When we come back.
After we talk to Steven Seagal at the bottom of the hour, and we have this conversation, we're going to talk about what would be so bad if everything Obama wanted came true. It's going to be like, I got to find some fairy tale music.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows every day.
Oh, close. Let me find some music that Dr. Mason, he sent something over saying, Tracy, trying to find music on YouTube. How have you been, Sticks?
I've been really good.
Got your books.
Good.
He sent them.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You told me about them. They found it. They found a
good
home.
I'm glad they found it. They found it.
And what was it? Oops, I was looking up. Oh, fairy tale music.
Yeah.
I got to find some fairy tale music. So the question is, what would
unicorns
be so bad?
And unicorns and fairies and...
What would be so bad?
Let's not get into that now. We're going to wait till 1 o'clock to get into that, because if we start now, then it'll screw everything all up. Let's talk about, I don't know, the Browns... Lost
NASCAR?
We'll talk about NASCAR. Here we go.
And these are the days of our lives.
Don't that just make you want to go out and buy a My Little Pony? It does. It just makes you want to go out and buy a My Little Pony.
So the question, as I said, at the bottom of the hour, you listen to the Tracy and Friends. The top of the next hour. 1 o'clock. You know, 1 o'clock, 1:06, after the news, we're going to find out what would really happen if everything that President Obama wanted came true. Hey, Matt.
How you guys doing?
Hi.
I want to kind of chime in on what?
I can't do it. What's chiming in on? I know what you're going to say.
What you just said, if Obama gets everything
no,
he
no,
wants.
No, 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 no. It's the top of the hour. No, no, no. That's something for you to think on, ponder.
Oh, I can't. I have a busy day today.
You don't have a busy day today.
I got yard work to do. It's beautiful outside. It's not too windy. I can do leaves. I can get all my stuff taken inside. Maybe I'll put it off for a little while.
That's right, because this is going to be a good topic, because someone called me this morning and said, I want you to tell me what would happen if everything President Obama said came true, and what would be so bad about it?
Well, that's a confusing question, considering that he talks out of both sides of his mouth. So which side of the mouth are you talking about?
Snap. What are you talking about, he talks out of both sides of his mouth?
I thought you wanted to go into it at the top of the hour.
Oh,
I
top of the, okay, sorry.
Now.
Top of the hour. Let's go to 440. 440, how are you, honey?
Pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to let you know, my wife, just my wife's health care, they're canceling it, and it costs us $145 a month, okay? And that's being canceled at the end of the year. It will now cost us $600. So,
what's wrong,
you know,
with that?
$600 a month?
You got it. Listen, the president said that those of us who have a little, we're going to have to give a little bit more, and those of us that don't have any are going to be able to get something that they need.
Okay.
So what's wrong with that? I don't understand. Come on now. You're picking on the guy. You know, what's wrong with giving a little bit more so other people that don't have can have a little bit more? Sticks is going to be giving a little bit more.
That's right.
And that doesn't include what we think we got to pay up front, too, so I don't know.
Pay up front? Don't worry about that.
What they've done to the American people is I had a 1984 Chevette that I could pay, that I owned outright and I could pay to maintain, and they just forced me to buy a 2014 Porsche that's going to bankrupt me. That's exactly what they did.
What's wrong?
Well, you got Jay Carney up there saying, let them eat cake.
Okay.
You know what, Sticks? You put that on a Facebook post once, and I really liked it, and I kind of came up with one of my own. Here's what I say, because this is the way that they promote it. I want a Ferrari, so I order a Ferrari, a nice red Ferrari. About 2 weeks later, a truck pulls up with a car on the back. It's red. It's a little rusty, and it's a 1985 Pinto, okay? So I didn't buy that. That's not what I was sold, you know, through the guy. But he's telling me that eventually it'll hit 60 miles an hour, and it is red. So it's a good sales pitch.
What's wrong with that? What is the problem with you guys? Yeah?
Now, Tracy, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to call in and poke you with sticks. It's not supposed to be the other way around.
Listen,
you know me now, don't you?
Yes, I do. You're 440.
Okay.
You're my favorite white guy.
Okay.
And I'm trying to, he got me, they called me this morning, and I'm trying to feel the guy. And I'm serious. I'm trying to feel this, and how great will it be when we all just give together? Sticks is looking at me like
because unfortunately I have friends that lived in the Eastern Bloc.
Yeah.
And I know how this story ends.
That's okay.
And it ends with barbed wire.
No, it does not. It ends with all of us living in a utopia.
Right.
Ask those 100 million people that Mao killed.
Listen, you're old-fashioned. You don't understand. You really don't. Come with me. We can set you free.
Okay.
Seriously.
I think 440 is extraordinarily happy because now that he's paying $400 more a month and he just passed by a house with a guy without a job that he's paying for now and the guy's just sitting there playing his Xbox, I mean, that's charity. I'd feel
What's
good
wrong
about
with that?
That? Right.
What's wrong
right.
with that? The guy likes Xbox. He should be able to play it. You like work. You should be able to do that. Who needs money? It's not worth anything anyhow.
I heard a new Grand Theft Auto was coming out. I would be willing to pay another $100 more, I guess, huh?
You might as well. If not, you're going to give it away for people for Christmas. Rent to own. What do you want?
Yeah, there goes my new boat.
Good boat.
Any
you don't need
boat.
A boat. A boat will make you drown.
You know, there's a
boat will make
you. There's a. In the novel
oh,
Atlas Shrugged, there's a they explain about how this started, and it started in a factory where we're all going to work, and each guy's going to get paid according to his need, and each guy's going to work according to his ability. You know, you heard the whole spiel. And it's a long, drawn-out explanation, but basically what happens is all the producers leave because they're sick of it, and the ones that are left begin to, instead of being charitable because they're killing themselves for people that won't produce, they begin to hate everyone who isn't producing. It uses the example
Six.
Of
you and what's his name? He was running with Ryan, Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Why are you listening to this?
Because it's what happens to the human psyche.
It was a fictional book. It was called, you know, Ayn Rand. She's a nut. She was a communist.
She wasn't.
She was a nut.
She was not a communist. She fled. She fled Stalin.
She's a fruitcake. She had this pie in the sky. You don't understand. So what? You have Solid Green. You don't need anything else. This is good.
Solid Green is people.
It's really not people. Have you seen The Hunger Games? That's people, but that's just fiction. Don't worry about it.
Logan's right.
Tracy.
Yeah, Alabama. What?
You know, I found it real interesting. Something's happened. The last few minutes I was at my cubicle and I heard you guys talking yesterday, and someone brought up that guy, Aleister Crowley. And I think it was Diva. Yeah, Diva said that father's right. I would love to hear her why that just bothers the right, a guy that a devil worshiper just bothers the right. Do what thou wilt. How does that not frighten you? How does total anarchy and just what the whole understanding of this guy and what he stood for here and the lady, what's her name, Madame Blavatsky or whatever her name, his predecessor. I just, for the life of me, want to understand why you don't understand the evilness of it and what it stands for.
Evilness
and
of
just,
what?
Come on, Tracy, now. Come on, Tracy. Come on.
What? What do you got? Listen, today.
I mean,
today,
especially, I would love to hear Diva tell me why she called, you know, and I'm.
What?
Being a believer
Alabama.
As to why
Alabama.
That doesn't bother her, why it doesn't upset her, or
Alabama,
have her, give her rise for concern.
Didn't you get some Kool-Aid this morning?
No, I ain't getting no Kool-Aid.
Well, you need to go drink some.
Why I need to drink some?
Because it'll bring your blood pressure straight down. Just go, whoop.
It'll make it hurt less.
My thing is, you know, and I said this, I think you weren't there, Tracy. If you word stuff right, you can get people to agree to anything if you word it right. And I just,
that's what they call diplomacy.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if I come up to you and say, hey, you know, I'm going to get you to work,
it's
I'm going to take 70% of your money, but we're going to pay all your bills.
I like that.
There's a lot of people probably. That's what I'm saying. A lot of people are like, nah, I'd rather just handle my own life. I don't need you to manage it for me. I can take care of myself.
That's good. What's wrong with that? Remember, we're not talking.
No, don't forget the 70%. We're going to take all your money.
What's wrong with
and
that?
And take care of all your needs.
There you go. Who cares? That's good.
Are they going to keep my fridge stocked with beer?
That doesn't matter.
You're sounding like Diva.
If they keep,
you're
now wait
like
a minute.
Wait a minute.
I'm not. I'm kind of going there. I'm kind of getting there now.
Are you getting
so
it?
So you're going to take all. I get to work.
No.
I get to go to work every day.
Right.
And you're going to take all my money.
No.
But every night when I come home, I'm not going to get any money.
No.
But every night when I come home, my refrigerator's going to be full of beer and my TV's going to be
full. Well,
yeah, right.
But hold on.
That's
those sticks. Hold on. One thing about Diva, at least she just outright is a socialist. Don't come telling me you want your plan, you can keep it, and then try to say, and then you see almost 20 million people losing their plan, and you either didn't know or you're incompetent. You can't defend both. You can't come from come from both sides.
Sweetheart,
you just can't defend that.
Listen, yes I can.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? No, no.
He knew.
Because you
see,
really,
the problem is,
you really
let me say this, Tracy. He knew the whole time he was going to take these people off their insurance and force them into single payer.
Alabama, listen. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. He really didn't mean that. But what he meant was, but you really weren't listening to what you heard. Do you remember Eddie Murphy when he said when the girlfriend caught the boyfriend in the bed with the girlfriend, another girlfriend?
Eddie Murphy,
they said it wasn't me. Remember
yeah.
that? It wasn't him. Yeah. What are you talking about?
No. See, you didn't hear Jay Carney the other day.
Okay.
You had a substandard plan. That's why the president didn't say that, because you're not smart enough to buy the proper health care plan. And if you'd have had the proper health care plan, you'd have got to keep it. But because you had a substandard one with too much fine print, and you didn't understand that you were getting cheated by the health care companies, the president had to make it right for you.
I hate to be Ayn Rand today. I want to be Ayn Rand or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Ayn Rand.
What if a person wants to not have any health care, just drop dead? Don't they have that right, yes or no?
No. Of course
that's
not.
That's right.
You don't belong to yourself anymore.
So we don't really have rights then. We don't have that right. So you have to be forced to pay for something, no matter
now,
what.
Now you're starting to get the whole gist of what the progressives believe.
No. That's not what you're. No.
Hold on, because Diva feels compassion in these persons. What about the poor? That's always the thing. No, what about the person that can't? Even though she probably let her tell us she can take care of herself on every area except give or take a couple. But I'm just saying. So. I'm just trying to see where it is that it. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like this person, if they don't want to have health care and they know they need it, yet they know they can afford it or they can get it, and they choose not to, who are you to tell them they have to get something? That's what I mean. I just want to get that explained.
You just want to get
that's
that out. Listen,
you can't make anybody buy anything. You're not supposed to be able to force anybody to buy anything. It's against the Constitution. That's why I can't understand.
What Constitution?
How that
got passed. We haven't worried about the Constitution since Teddy Roosevelt.
Why are you concerned about the Constitution? It's an antiquated piece of paper.
Yeah.
That's just a bunch of rich old white guys wrote that.
It's a charter of negative liberties.
Let me ask you this, Tracy.
Yeah. I'm here.
Does Jay Carney, is he like the most weasel-looking sucker you ever seen in your life?
Yeah, he's the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
He is a weasel. I don't care what color, what gender he is a weasel.
He's a magic.
This plan is like urinating on people and telling them it's raining, and then he has to defend it. Yeah, it is raining. It's not. You're not getting good. I know you took off the plan. I know the website's not working. I know you say it's $10,000 deductible, but it's the best thing for you. Like, this
that's,
is crazy.
Listen,
like, I don't. And,
listen,
Diva,
listen, guys.
Diva was way better than him. She needs the job. She really does.
She needs the job. Listen, I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk to Steven Seagal. And when we get done talking to him, then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what happens if President Obama gets everything that he asked. What's wrong with that?
Leave the mic open.
You got it. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number three.
What's up, Alabama?
This is the best. I have never seen someone come in and screw people so bad. Like, you got, what? What's that? Almost, I mean, I don't know, maybe 15%. I don't know what the percentage rate is, but we've actually done near double the insurance of people that really didn't have. We're kicking people off insurance.
Can you
and
hear
this
me?
Is gonna be, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for about 20-something minutes to answer your first question. I didn't bring up Aleister Crowley. I didn't know who he was until you just mentioned him and I Googled him, so that wasn't me.
No, you said yesterday, you said that the right fears him and progressives don't, I mean, it's
no,
almost
I was
like something's wrong.
Alex Crowley, I was talking about Democrat policies, and I was talking about President Obama, the left, the right fears anything that the left does. Somebody else put the broadcast in the context of them with the upside
down stars and stuff, and they were talking about this witch, Wiccan stuff that it's rumored that she's into heavily. And you said that the right fears that Aleister Crowley. That's if I'm not mistaken.
Now I remember that Matt was talking about the stars and stuff, but I didn't mention.
I brought up Crowley originally, but I didn't talk about him. I don't know who did. Maybe somebody did. I didn't talk about him except bring him up. Alabama, you're muffled again.
As usual.
There you go. That's better.
Well, yeah. I just, for the life of me, can't understand. This healthcare bill was a screw up, and it's been defended. And I would, if you're going to defend something and it's screwed up, I don't understand why you would run on something. This is the point. You would say something, you would defend it like it's a legacy, like it's good, when it's a screw up. And then when it's a screw up, you didn't know, and yet you're not supposed to take any responsibility for any of the screw ups. It's like, now I'm sitting like, well, dang, I mean, this man has no responsibility for anything. Like, he has no responsibility. He didn't know about every time something bad happened, he has nothing. He's completely exonerated. I'm just like, this is crazy to me. I can't. I got to play hopscotch and Twister just to understand what he talked. Like, okay, what's your point? What's your viewpoint? Like, it takes mental Twister. It's like mental Twister, though, Diva, for me just to understand how you can even defend this stuff. This bill, man, you got to do gymnastics to even understand his viewpoint.
Can't ask questions and continue to ask questions on top of questions.
You know what? That was a rhetorical question. I already know the answer. I already know my answer. Like, it's just crazy. Nobody can defend this.
Because it's a rhetorical question.
Like, for example, one thing I respect the Obama phone lady about, at least she was logical enough to say, man, this dude full of it. I respect her for that.
You fundamentally disagree on how the government should work. There are people who disagree with you on how government should work.
No. I fundamentally disagree, Diva, when you run and defend something like it's good, then when it falls apart, you say, I don't know why it fell apart. I didn't have anything. I didn't see this coming. You either knew, and then when people say, well, he knew. Either he knew or he didn't know. Either way, it's a screw-up.
Alabama. The law didn't
How can
fall
you come out and defend, like, that? Like, the whole way it's coming out now,
okay,
we didn't know this was going
to
happen.
I'm trying not to yell, but the law did not fall apart. The website fell apart, and no one is defending the website.
The law is falling apart. Diva, 15 million people have been kicked off their insurance. That's not falling apart.
I have three people that I know personally, my family, whose rights have not gone up. Yes, their policies have changed.
Diva, that's anecdotal, Diva. That's just you and a couple of other people you know.
My mother's letter is stating that they want her to sign up with them, even though her policy has changed because of the ACA. They are hoping that she will stick with them come January.
Diva, why are you making all this point about some anecdotal situation? That don't have anything to do with these
15.
You got 500,000 people got kicked off in California. You got 300,000 got kicked off in Florida. It's going to be about 15 million people. This is well documented.
Everyone else can bring up the anecdotes of how I know this person or my policy changed, but the minute I bring up someone else, it doesn't matter. Someone else to counter that.
No, Diva, but even, look, Obama's media is saying 15 million people are being kicked off their insurance.
Off. It's not like they're being left off
insurance. Let's establish some facts. Is it true that 15 million people about to lose their insurance, yes or no?
Good luck getting that.
Yes or no?
Are they about to or have they?
Pretty much have, but I mean they're about to be. They got a letter. They got notice that in January 4th, 2014, they're going to be kicked off.
I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what people is going to happen.
We'll look that up then because we can't talk about facts. Facts need to be established.
You know, Alabama, I've come to the conclusion that people I disagree with, I can't have a conversation with. This man sat out there and defended and ran his whole campaign on this bill,
and the bill is a screw-up.
You ask
the law
question,
is a screw-up. The law, however you want to word it, because you want
to
vacillate between the two. Whatever he ran on, whatever he passed is a screw up. Not, and the website is indicative of incompetence. Look, the whole argument we've all been making is that the government is incompetent. Look at them. They spent $1 billion on a website and can't even run a website. And you think they're going to run health care good. And you still trying to argue for them to take over health care when they can't even run a website. They can't run cash for clunkers. They can't run the post office. They can't run Amtrak. They can't run the Social Security. They can't run Medicare. They can't run Medicaid. They can't run the military. They can't run nothing.
So how are you defending private industry when you have just as many failures, just as many egregious practices?
Because in private industry, you'll get fired. I'm going to tell you why if you're going to listen. In private industry, you'll get fired. It's based off results because it's about profit. Now, whether or not private industry isn't perfect. There's a book called A Wealth of Nations that talks about this. Private industry is not perfect, but at the same time, it's better than having the government in some certain...
That's your opinion, and you're
incompetent. They losing billions of dollars. Everything they do. Show me something that worked.
And
can you show me something they did that worked?
Today is hump day. Today's Wednesday, and we know, you know, when Six is here, you never know what you're going to get. I've been trying to make it an energy week day for since he began, and we've never made it energy. So he went out and found me a gentleman by the name of Steven Seagal. You did do that, right, Fitz?
Yes, I did.
And Steven Seagal is a guest on here with us, and he has written a book, and he is here to tell us a little bit about it, tell us a little bit about him and what he is up to. He's a financial expert, and I know a lot of you were sitting waiting with bated breath on the line. So I hope you guys behaved during the break because he has been in the wings listening to you for a very long time. And so it is not
– We didn't behave at all. Go ahead.
I'm surprised he didn't hang up already.
Beaver, they beat you up too bad?
I'm here. I mean, I don't know how many people I'm talking to, but it sounds like about 15 or 20.
It's close. It's close. We have open lines, and so guys, I'm not gonna mute you yet, but I'm gonna just talk to him for a minute. Let him get his points out and let him talk.
Well, I don't know who you are, but I agree with everything you're saying.
Oh man, wait a minute! Don't do it. Just say no. Don't. They'll suck you in. You'll be here for hours.
No, I know.
Don't do it.
Oh,
so Steven Seagal is the author of. I got to get to my page now.
Ida Story.
Ida Story. Thank you so much. And when Six came and brought me Steven Seagal coming, I'm going, huh? So what's he talking? He said,
well,
he wrote
actually,
a book.
I used to pronounce it Seagal, but you know. The karate guy took it over, and now it's Seagal. But anyway, it's Steve Seagal is what it is.
Are you sure
that
Steve Seagal?
I'll tell you what. I think you'd like Ida's story, and particularly Alabama, you'd like Ida's story, because it's based on the strength and determination and resiliency of the human spirit. And it's a story describing how Americans lived and not only survived but excelled in the years before government thought that they had to take care of our every need. I mean, the story is filled with tragedy, adventure, intrigue, murder, love. It describes how Ida faces the trials of life and through her own determination, will, and persistence, comes through the toughest of times with dignity and strength. And I think that's what we're all concerned about. We let the government come in and they treat us like a bunch of stupid children and take away our rights and act like we can't do anything for ourselves. And Ida's story gives insights into how Ida's generation, the generation that lived between the late 1800s and mid-century, fought and won two world wars, pulled themselves out of the Depression, cleaned up mob violence of the Prohibition era, created the most prosperous and powerful nation in the history of the world, and became what Tom Brokaw so properly dignified by naming them the greatest generation. To me, I don't want to go back to all of the problems that they had, and yet I have such admiration for the spirit of those people long before all of these supposed government safety nets were in place.
Let me ask you this. Because this is the conversation that I had not too long ago. Your generation did things your way.
Right.
But it's changed now. and we need to change with the new generation and new way of doing things.
Right.
And our way is more of a commune way.
Yes.
And no matter what history, and I guess because we didn't teach enough history inside of the academics of their childhood, they believe that their way is right. And I'm just an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't either, but that, I mean, but if you listen to the commentary from, we were talking about Jay Carney and President Obama, if you listen to how things are going, and if you listen to the new generation, a lot of people in that 47% that everybody hates now,
yeah,
that's how they feel.
You mean that the government has to take care of them or what?
Absolutely. The government is our friend. The government likes us. The government is it can take better care of us, and they don't see it as a new form of slavery or a new form of socialism.
Well, people who feel that way don't have any understanding of history. I mean, the world is full of historical thinking along those lines, and none of it ever works out. I just got back from Europe about a week ago, and talking with some of those people over there who definitely have the socialistic kind of structure, their spirit is gone. They simply trudge through life almost as if they're born to do menial work and so forth, constantly looking for someone else to take care of them. Their inspiration is gone. Their dreams are trashed. It's a shame.
You know that.
And that's what happens when government takes over.
But look at America's trying to become European. I mean, if you see in this globalist society, you see America and Europe fusing back together again.
I didn't see that before Barack Obama. I didn't see that.
I didn't either. But I see it now.
I didn't.
Yeah, I know that. But it's only been, what, five years? What have we got, 3 more years? We can get past this.
Let's look back. Let's look back 100 years, because I'm currently reading a lot of history, and Woodrow Wilson was very interested in basically reuniting Europe with the United States.
Oh yeah. Yes.
So
and
what countries? Go ahead.
Roosevelt was very enamored by the communist ideas. And thank God we didn't go down those paths.
Very far.
You know, Margaret Thatcher made a statement years ago, and I just loved it. She said, I really enjoy coming to America. She said, I step off the plane, and she said, the spirit of the people is so uplifting. And she said, in America, everything works. What a beautiful statement about our country. Now, that was back in the early 1980s. When Reagan was in and so forth and so on. But this thing with government taking over everything, this is not the right way to go.
Well,
and sooner or later, the people will figure that out.
Well, go ahead, Alabama.
No, my thing is, how does he feel about, Diva just made a point we want to break about, the private industry being, I guess, so corrupt as if government isn't selfish, and I just wonder how do you look at that? Because it's almost like when people make that argument, let's give it to this crackhead because there are some crackheads in this neighborhood, so let's give it to a guaranteed crackhead. Let him try to run the business or something. I mean, that's just almost what it's like they're saying. So how do you look at it?
What are you saying, Alabama, that they're saying that private industry is corrupt?
It's like it just if you got one end run, All private industry is corrupt because of Enron, because of, certain people. And I ain't going to lie, there are big businesses that are kind of set up to where they're in with the government, and I'm against corporatocracy just like the rest of them and fascism. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying private industry, the people that provide 90% of these jobs out here, the private, small businesses, people, the people is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about less trust Enron, let's trust Lockheed Martin, let's trust... No, they're pretty much government themselves to me. They're all the same. But when you start talking about these smaller businesses of people out here that run these businesses that employ 50 or 200 people, those are the type of places that I'm talking about as far as I think they can run a lot better than, you know, these industries. I mean, you look at the websites, internet. I mean, show me when Google was down for a month.
There's no question about that. I ran a business. When I came into the business, we employed 25 people. 40 years later, when I left the business, we employed 500 people. And we weren't corrupt. We were never corrupt with anything. We weren't corrupt with our suppliers. We weren't corrupt with our competitors. And, you know, we set the table for 500 families every night. We paid a good wage. We didn't screw anybody. We had a good health care plan. And that business still survives today. And it created wealth. It added to the GDP of the nation. It added to the health and welfare of all the people we employed. Sure, there's corruption in private industry, and as you pointed out, Enron and some of these energy companies where the government threw the money in and the executives took it and ran. That's absurd. And there is corruption. There's corruption in all aspects of life. But the majority of people aren't corrupt. Actually, the majority of government isn't corrupt. Thank God.
But have you noticed that the word profit is more and more often becoming a dirty word in our society?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And because it is, industry is being asked to leave the country. I did a study for Congressman David Schweikert from Arizona about 2 years ago. And basically the challenge of that study was he wanted to know why industry was leaving the United States of America in droves. And I thought, as I went into it, I thought, well, this is going to be easy. It's going to be unionism. It's going to be high wages. It's going to be because employees are demanding too much and so forth. None of that was at the top of the list. You know what was at the top of the list?
Government regulation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right up at the top. That is what is driving industry out of existence.
Yeah,
I know a lady who runs a shop that makes women's wear. She employs 5-6 people. The documentation that she has to fill out, she has to employ one person just to fill out the monthly documents. It's absurd.
But
yeah,
I think the major issue.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
But all these businesses, they want 12-year-olds running lathes, and they want no health and welfare benefits, and they're just evil. I mean,
where did you ever find 12-year-olds running lathes?
Well, that's what we've been told. That's why businesses are leaving the country because businesses leaving the country because without these regulations, we'd have 12-year-olds running lathes.
Whoever told you that 12-year-olds were running lathes? Where did you get this information? I mean,
it's on the internet.
It's on the internet.
No, you're told that in school. When you're in elementary, because of the good unions, they came in and beat the bad monopolies across the head because they had kids and child labor laws. And so it's good that they're forcing industry to adhere to all of these different criteria. And then you got a lot of people who think I can vote and have the government put a gun in somebody's head and have them give it to me for my benefit. And that's good. And they think that's the inherent belief of government. That's what the government is supposed to do. That's what they think.
I'm not about to say that responsible regulation isn't necessary. I don't think you can just have a complete laissez-faire kind of government where, you know, it's just kind of do whatever the heck you want to and the heck with any rules. No, of course not. But the United States is and has been in the last century a responsible society. What was wrong with the United States? What had to be fixed? I mean, why do we need all of these new regulations?
Let me say this. The problem that we have is lack of balance.
Of course.
And a lack of common sense, as we say now, is not so common.
right on target.
Because what's happening is, and where we're missing the we're allowing unions to put municipalities into bankruptcy.
Yep.
I don't even think, so we have unions putting the government into bankruptcy. Does that make
sense?
That's
correct. Yes.
And we have regulations that are putting. I mean, we have legislators who are putting forth legislative ideas that they've not read, that are working against them, and they don't really know it, because we think if you send a lawyer to the state house as a legislator, he's actually writing the bill. And that comes from the miseducation and the undereducation of Americans.
Absolutely insane regulation that's not common sense is you can't hire a 16-year-old young person to get on a stepladder and wash windows.
He might fall.
I don't get the point.
That's insanity. But it's a regulation. An employer that employs 16-year-olds cannot give one of them a stepladder and a rag and say, wash those windows.
It's against the law. They might fall.
Right.
Before we go too far, because we'll be here for 3 hours, and my question to you is, tell me a little bit about your book in detail, a little bit, because I didn't get a copy of it.
Well, as I said before, basically what it does, it's a true story, and it tells the story of a woman born in the late 1800s and the struggle that she goes through. And because there were not any rules or very few rules and very few safety nets, she was definitely taken advantage of. I mean, I admit it. And she was illiterate until she was in her 30s. She was taken advantage of by con artists who conned her out of her house after her husband was killed in an industrial accident. Her children were sent to a brutal orphanage. Her family was split up for years and so forth and so on. But Ida came through her own will and her own determination that she was not going to let life beat her. She wasn't looking for a handout. She did rely on the help of some of her friends, as we all do. But she survived, and she not only survived, she excelled, and she, the end of her life, she had been dignified in the way she went through life. And there is a certain dignity that you've got to have in life, and that if you rely on others to take care of you all the time, that dignity is taken away, and it's a tragedy. It's what I saw in so many of the people that I talked to in Europe. Yes, they go through life, but they just seem so beaten down. It always makes me feel good to get back to the United States because there's a better spirit here, at least now. That's what Ida's all about.
Yeah, I too spent a lot of time in Europe, and I saw it there too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Don't worry.
Well,
it's not going near you.
Things like that, though. I mean, how do you guys handle that? When a person thinks like that, that person thinks that it's the government's job to take from others and give it to them. I mean, that person's vote is just as powerful as your vote. And I think that's sad, but it's just true.
Absolutely. I agree with
you.
You
know,
hi, South
Tracy,
Carolina.
I've got a new employee, and she has lived in both Mexico and Jamaica. And she made an interesting comment about the healthcare situation. But she said that, you know, yeah, they're poor, you know, they're needy, but at least they have free healthcare. And they get free education in Mexico. They work for a little while, and then they get a free house. But if they've got all that down there and everything is free, why so many trying to get to America?
Because she's not telling you the whole story.
There's more to the story? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's more to the story. I mean, the man raises an excellent point. If they got all of that and she likes it so much, why are they all coming to America? Because you're not getting the whole story.
I think he makes a great point that something has died in a lot of people that think like that. There's something dead in there. They don't even know it, and they're out here pushing something that they don't think they're strong enough deep down inside. They don't think they're strong and smart enough to get out there and do it on their own. And they'll have to admit that.
If it goes on for too long, they won't be strong enough to do it on their own anymore. Because once it's gone, they become dependent upon it. And that's the shameful thing about it.
Let me ask you this. And tell us where we can find your book, please.
It's available on Amazon. It's available both in paperback and electronic format. You can order it from any of the major book retailers. I don't know if they're stocking it yet, but you just go to Barnes & Noble or any Books A Million and ask for Ida's Story, and they will order it. They can get it in 3 days. And I don't know. I just hope it rekindles some of the desire to do things on our own.
I hope it does, too, but I said this to a friend of mine last night. The problem that we have in society today is people are drowning in 2 feet of water because we told them that they couldn't stand on their own 2 feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's taken 100 years to do that to the American people also.
But they've done a good job at it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
That's true.
Steven Sokol, give me the name of your book again, and I thank you for coming on with us. I've got to go to
the
top of the hour break, and we truly appreciate it.
The name of the book is Ida's Story, I-D-A, Ida's Story, and you can find it on Amazon or at any of the major bookstores.
Hey, thank you. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM.
Hey, it's been great talking to you guys.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It is refreshing to hear somebody, you know, come from that viewpoint. Because it really, we can go back and forth about Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, but If you get to a person's core belief system and what they value, and then you can kind of start really getting somewhere, because that
absolutely
shapes even your understanding of what government's job is shaped by that. To me, I think that you're going to lead to where it's going to benefit
question?
You.
I didn't get to ask it when she was on air, but I would love to ask you a question. Have you ever yourself been on government assistance?
Myself? Are you talking to me, Steve Siegel?
Yes, sir.
No.
So if you've never, and please don't think that I'm trying to be mean or anything about this, but I just would like to know, if you've never been on government assistance, how is it that you know what someone is feeling who has been on it?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I said that I believe that there should be social safety nets. I do. I believe in the Bible that says that we do have to take care of those in need. I didn't say that I didn't believe that. But I don't believe that we have to set a permanent system of aid to people who can do for themselves. You should not do for a man permanently what they can do for themselves. If you do, you take away all of their incentives. Should you help a person when they're down? Oh, absolutely. I have worked in volunteer situations. I have worked in soup kitchens. I have worked in food banks and so forth and so on. And I believe that you should help people when they're down. But at some point in time, the help has got to be to get them back on their feet. You want a hand up, not a hand out.
Are you aware of welfare reform and how that program works and how the program works now?
Pretty much so.
Okay, because prior to welfare reform, that was true, that basically you were subjected to the government saying, look, we're going to give you this, but it made it seem like you couldn't find your way out because it was like either I have to take this or I have to watch my kids starve, or I won't be able to give them health care. And you basically could be on it as long as you needed it until your kids were 18 and out the house. Now, since welfare reform, it's not like that. I've seen so many women, so many young women, go from welfare to work. When welfare reform happened, people who were on the system were extremely happy because now it gave them a chance. It gave them a chance to move off the system and work and to grow and to build their lives. And that's our system now, because you can only be on it for 3 years. You can only be on it, at least receiving cash assistance, for 3 years and then get 2 years extensions after that if you have more children. As far as food stamps go, they're only truly for the needy. We can debate whether able-bodied people should be able to have it, but then are they truly able-bodied? Because I have come across a lot of people in my nonprofit work where these people are truly dealing with mental illness or drug addiction, and they're not hireable. At least if I was hiring, I'm hiring for quantity. I wouldn't hire these people. Well, so what do we do when someone doesn't want to hire them?
That leads you into a whole different category, because we are not taking care of our mentally ill. And the reason we're not taking care of our mentally ill is somebody way back in the 1980s said, oh, it's embarrassing to have to put someone in insane asylums or in mental institutions because it is an affront to their health, and it is an affront to their well-being, and it's an affront to their self-esteem. We need to bring those mental health facilities back. You know, I mean, this goes on and on and on. And when you start undermining certain aspects of helping the poor and those in need, you create all kinds of problems. And
I can completely agree with you. And my thing is, as they label me as a liberal, so I'll give them that title, but as a Democrat voter, I will have to say the talk should be reform. Because the only talk that I hear, and as someone who has been on government assistance, and because I've battled health problems in the within this year, I received Medicaid. And as someone who is utilizing the system because I need it, it's difficult for me to hear someone basically put all of us in a group and say, basically, it sounds like you're all bad, the system is no good, you only want the system, you're a taker, and the real talk should be, well, how do we reform the system? Because it sounds like, well, you guys don't want it and you want to take it from us. We don't hear
that.
A lot of, let's reform it.
I didn't say that you should throw
it. Oh, no, not you, sir, not you. I'm not saying you.
And you can't just trash everything. That's not where I'm coming from. As I said before, total laissez-faire government doesn't work. It goes in degrees. And we could go on, as Tracy said, we could go on with this for hours and hours and hours. I love conversations.
I think you and I would have more in common and more to agree on than we think. And if only
anytime we have conversations like this and we're going to change the world, I mean, I need a few beers.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. Listen, I love talking with you guys. I got to run.
Yeah, I think Tracy went into break, sir. So it was nice talking to you. It was an excellent conversation.
Great.
It truly was.
Enjoyed talking
really
with you guys. I love your show. Terrific. You got to get nationally syndicated.
I think Tracy's moving towards that end, so we'll relay the message there.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Hi, Diva.
Hello, Matt.
How are you? It's a beautiful sunny day today.
I'm surprised you're being conciliatory.
Oh, I try to be nice. I do sleep from time to time. What's that?
Except on Facebook.
Oh, no. Well, lately, yeah, I've been kind of calm on the radio and a little bit harsh on Facebook, but I've reached the end of my rope. I think you can see that.
Oh, man, you know what? Hey, Matt, when you reach the end of the rope, you tie a knot into that and hang on.
Oh, I'm trying. Unfortunately, I think I knotted myself in the wrong area.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, I've been running for, you know, the city council, and I didn't realize that there were so many things wrong with me.
coming on and hanging out with me and talking about his book called
Ida's Story.
Steven Seagal.
Yes.
I made everybody stay on the line because they thought it was Steven Seagal.
Seagal.
Okay, it's Seagal, but it's Seagal to me. That's how Steven Seagal said it, right? Isn't it?
It's Seagal. He had to go, and he wanted us to let
Karate
you know.
Karate Guy, S-E-A-G-A-L. And his is S-E-G-A.
Oh, they just confused the crap out of people. Well, it's open mic. And the topic of open mic right now is what's wrong with letting President Obama have his way? What would be so bad with where it's going? I think we're not giving the president the benefit of the doubt. And I want to know what everyone else thinks about this. What's wrong with letting him have his way? And maybe he's got a better idea than the rest of us.
Well, we're starting to see it go through right now, Tracy.
Right.
Well, this was not his original idea, though. This was not the original plan.
Oh.
It was not. This is something that they were basically, this is like the compromise plan.
Well, no,
Diva.
Compromise with who?
This is a compromise between conservative Democrats and Republicans.
No, baby.
No.
Yes, it was.
No, Diva.
No.
Don't
not
put
a
Republicans.
Single,
not a Republican had anything to say with anything that's going on
not
here.
Not a single Republican voted for this in the House of Representatives.
Nor did they have anything to add to it.
In order to get past the filibuster in the Senate, Olympia Snowe and one other Republican, I guess y'all don't claim them now, but they had said that as long as it was a public option, that they were not going to help us get past the filibuster. We had conservative Democrats who would not go for the public option. So therefore,
this is a Republican compromise with one Republican. Am I correct?
No, I said this was conservative Democrats, and this was, okay, well, two Republicans then to help us get past the filibuster.
So two Republicans make a whole Republican stew.
No, I just reiterated what I said. I corrected what I said.
Wait a minute. So that means that John McCain and Ted Cruz believe the same things.
What do you mean?
They're both Republicans.
Yeah, you're putting Olympia Snowe and that other guy in the same boat. And unfortunately, the Democrats are different than the Republicans in that we have a divergence of opinion in our party, and the Democrats walk in lockstep. Harry Reid had 100% of Democrats.
If it would have walked in lockstep, we would have had the public option and not these exchanges. They didn't walk in lockstep. We had conservative Democrats that went against the House plan vehemently, and then we ended up what we got.
Okay. Did you have conservative Democrats, or did you have Democrats who were afraid of being reelected because their constituents didn't want?
Well, Blanche Lincoln was in a very red district, yeah, and she was afraid of being reelected. But she was considered a conservative. She was conservative economically, and her and Evan Bayh were conservative economically, but they were liberal socially, I guess.
How did
they get to the Republicans? I mean, where's the Republican compromise? How does the bill become a Republican compromise?
Did I not reiterate what I said? I said, okay, fine. I will correct what I said. You had two Republicans and you had conservative Democrats who would not help us get over the filibuster with the House bill as it was, with the public
option. So now we blame all Republicans, because my question is, and I go back to the question that I asked at the beginning of the hour, what's wrong with giving President Obama everything that he wants?
Yeah, well, you know what? I've been calling for that since he was elected the second time. I've been calling for that. I've been screaming for that. I said it. I was called crazy, too. I say, allow him to have it. I'd like to see an all-liberal Senate, House, and presidency. Let it all go through and let everybody suffer who voted for these. I'll suffer along with them if it means giving my children a better future, because we can get over this hump quickly instead of drawing it out for the next 12 to 15 years.
But But the problem with that, Matt, what concerns me with that is where the president wants to go. We've seen it over and over and over in human history. It always ends up in barbed wire and firing squads.
And your point is?
Because as soon as you put the needs of the collective over top of the needs of the individual, then anything the collective wants to do to the individual is just fine.
So what's wrong with that? Because right now we are in a quandary of getting nothing done, and I don't know why we just don't let him have his way.
But where in history has the needs of the individual suffered because we have put in policy that protects the collective?
Nazi Germany?
I'm talking about here in America.
China?
Here in America. Here
in
America.
The internment of the Germans during World War One, the internment of the Japanese during World War Two, slavery.
How many more examples do you have? That's always the excuse that is used when the majority wants to overrule the minority.
It's for the good of the collective. Go ahead.
Here's one. Let's try Bell City, California. Let's try Detroit, Michigan. Let's try Cleveland when it went bankrupt in the 1980s. All of those were there, and all of those are suffering because of what their union contracts. That's the collective versus the rights of the individual. The burden got so hard on the taxpayer, the individual taxpayer, that they could not pay their bills anymore because they were working to support the collective, and that's what happened. That's why
I'll give you that. But why is it that we, instead of learning from those situations and expanding on those and making it better and making it work, that we just say, no, we don't want it all together? I mean, because when they found out I had cancer in my ankle, synovial cell sarcoma is a very high aggressive cancer. They were telling me, no, we just need to cut your foot off. I'm like, no. Y'all move it too fast. You don't have to cut my foot off. You can take out the bad parts, and then we'll go from there. And that's exactly what happened. We took out the bad parts and went through radiation therapy, and now I'm doing fine for the time being. So why can't we just do away with the bad parts, keep the good parts, and expound on the good parts?
Because a house divided against itself cannot stand.
We have the good parts, Diva. We have the good parts already. They're wanting to put in, instead of them taking out the cancer, they want to put the cancer in.
No. Well, I understand why you guys don't like this bill. But the fact of the matter is you cannot deny that there was some bad stuff going on with the private insurance industry. You can't deny that. Try to fix that. Yeah, because now, I've been saying this since this bill went through. I said without the public option, what they're doing now, what the insurance companies doing now, raising rates, is going to happen. And it did happen. I forgot that I said that. I said, then with this happening,
it's
going to leave single payer. No one listened.
Here's what happened. According to the ACA, Diva, some of these plans that these people have, the ones that they're canceling, do not fit the standard.
And
they don't fit the standard.
But if the consumer wanted
to pay for it, who says you're supposed to set the standard? Again, it's the collective versus the individual.
Right.
This is what Matt's trying to explain to you, Diva.
I get that you guys like the protection of the individual.
Diva, you
over
said the insurance
collective.
Companies were doing bad things.
One at a time. Who was that? I think that was Mike.
Yeah, it was. Diva, you said that the insurance companies were doing bad things. Their businesses. What were they doing that was so bad? You mean not selling to people who didn't want to pay?
No, they were kicking sick people off. If you paid your premiums all this time and you got so sick that you couldn't pay it, you were done. They left you holding a bag. If you were sick and if your child was sick and born with a health insurance problem, they may accept it. They may not. I've dealt with that myself where I couldn't get insurance because I had a pre-existing condition from childhood. So...
Diva, hold on, Mike, because somebody said something else. MS is a pre-existing condition. So, you know, I feel your pain. So let me say it that way. But just because, you know, they don't want to insure me now that I have a pre-existing condition, don't make everybody pay for my – well, they could have just made one piece of legislation that says all insurance companies must accept all people with pre-existing conditions.
Boom. But why not just say that all insurance companies have to pay into a pool for catastrophic care?
Larry, you're on the your mic's up.
They floated that out there.
Well, Diva, right. Diva, I said Larry. Your name, not Larry. What'd you say, Larry?
Well, Diva made a point for what we're talking about. She said she liked being able to talk to her doctor and discuss what procedure to be done. Diva, I just posted on my Facebook thing there in the British UK, they have what liberals over here hold up as the Holy Grail, single payer. You don't get those choices. The collective decides whether it's for life-saving stuff, whether you're worth spending the money on. And then you don't have the money, and they decide that you're not going to get that care. You don't get that care. My wife, three-time cancer survivor, the second time was with breast cancer. From diagnosis to when it was out, was 3 weeks, and we delayed it 2 weeks because we had a vacation plan. You don't get that option when the government's looking at you and deciding which is more important and do that. I got to make that decision, and I also have the right to be upset when somebody takes that away from me after you promised that you could keep it. Yes, it makes the standard, but they were telling people you could keep your insurance plan if you liked it. Sean Hannity played that. Obama said that at least a dozen times over 2-3 years. And that's not true. They're not.
And no one said, and no one has said the Republicans told you that from the beginning. You have yet to hear anyone say, well, you know what? Republicans may be barking up a tree most of the time, but that day they hit it right on target. What am I missing here?
Tracy, the Tea Party, which was spawned. There was no Tea Party before the Affordable Care Act. The Tea Party, almost everything that they've said about Obamacare has been proven factual. And still, guys like Cruz that belong to the Tea Party or the Tea Party darlings are being railed upon. What have they lied about? Nothing. Everything that they said has been factual.
It's not even what they've lied about. It's what they've done. There's nothing that they've done. They have no legislative power. They have nothing. I mean, they might be able to turn a few heads, but that's it. So the problems that we see today have nothing to do with the Tea Party. The problems that
we
see today have to do with the people in power.
So you shoot the messenger is what's going on. That's what's happening. All they're doing is telling the truth, and you want to shoot them and demonize them as being these evil guys for telling the truth. That baffles me. But Diva just said that she liked that option of being able to tell her doctor, no, we're going another route. You don't have that with single payer, Diva. You don't.
No, your choice
I'm
would
sorry,
have been
you've
cut
never
your
heard
foot
me
off
argue,
or die.
Never heard me argue for single payer. I've argued for public option, never for single payer.
That is single payer.
On the ACA is
Obamacare and Affordable Health Care Act, too.
Diva, define single payer to me.
Single payer is when you have one paying system, which would be the government for single payer. If you go by what the liberals want, that's what a single payer system for us is. It's not for everybody to go into a group of insurance, into an exchange, pick your own insurance company, and then you deal with your insurance company. That's not
okay,
what the ACA is.
Okay, Diva. What do you think they have in England?
Sticks, again with the England. They had a monarchy in England. When we came over here, we decided to have our own government.
Diva.
What we decide on? We
Diva.
Decided on the democracy. We didn't want a monarchy.
Diva, it all works the same.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Because
no,
the thing is,
not.
When you have one-on-one, so where is the government supposed to get this money that they're going to turn around and pay back out of this single-payer system?
What single-payer system? You guys are – I can't even
proposing?
Have a discussion about single-payer. Single-payer is not even here.
Now, wait a minute. No. I want you to explain to me how this is going to work.
What do you mean
want
how this single-payer system?
So explain
it's not
to me how
a system
works.
Set up by the government. The government is not paying for people's insurance. They're subsidizing insurance.
Hold on.
And
hold
how
on,
they're
hold
subsidizing
on.
Some people's insurance
Diva,
is.
We're not talking about Go ahead. The ACA. I want you to tell me how you think this proposed single-payer system of yours works. Where does the money come from? How is it paid? Where does the money come from?
The government pays it.
And where does the government get their money?
Can somebody tell? I did not say I wanted a single payer. I never argued for single payer. I said because of the way things are going, that's how it's going to end up.
So what do you want?
I wanted the public option. I wanted a voluntary system where people who were caught in the middle could buy into very cheaply insurance that people who get Medicaid or Medicare can get. They pay a premium. They pay a very cheap premium, and they pay a small copay. And then it's voluntary. If you didn't want it, then you didn't have to take it and then leave everybody else how they were. That's the type of system I wanted.
Hold on, Brown. I'll bring you up in just a second. 330-692, your mic is on.
Yeah, I hate Obamacare because my girlfriend, she got pregnant, and she had a baby prematurely. We didn't have health care, and they sent us a bill for $30,000. And we didn't pay it. So now, and then I had to go to the emergency room one time, and it was $2,000. And we just didn't pay that. So now Obama's telling me that I got to pay for my own health care. I got to get an insurance plan. So you tell me, why do I got to pay for my own health care under Obamacare when I could just not pay it and I got a $30,000 bill. I didn't have to pay it. So now I have to pay for my own health care? That's why I hate Obamacare.
Well, listen, what it is they're going to tax – wait a minute. We're going to tack it to your taxes. Don't worry about it.
I don't pay taxes in health care
that he refuses to pay for, that the cost has been passed on to someone else.
I didn't pay for it. What do I care?
I hate to say this,
Diva,
but guess what?
Well, yeah, you get sick, you gotta pay the cost.
Let's look at those numbers that this gentleman just brought up, and you know, he's talking about the people, and I understand that that's been a problem for quite some time. However, now we're looking at people that now are forced out of their insurance and pay, and now we all have to pay for these people that never really had to have this care in the first place.
Why do I have to get insurance? I don't understand. Why do I got to get insurance?
What we've done is doubled down on the problem, and we're going to be paying more in the long run. So really, the numbers don't add up.
What the gentleman just shared with you is the proof that the myth that people go untreated in this country because they can't afford to pay. It's not true. The poor have always been taken care of. For over 50 years, if you're poor on any kind of public assistance, no hospital can refuse treatment of you. And this gentleman just pointed that out.
He's not on public assistance.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He got the treatment, and they sent him a bill. They didn't say, hey, first,
Brown.
Diva, hold on.
I got other people. Hey, Brown, your mic is up.
Good afternoon. Well, it's morning here in California. I see the conversation is lively. Continue. I'll chime on. I was feeling sorry that everybody was picking on Diva. I think she likes this.
Yes, she does.
She can handle it.
Diva.
I really don't. I have hard days after I get off this radio.
She has hard days, and then she goes to Facebook and does the same thing all over again. All
no,
right, Diva.
And then she calls back in tomorrow because it's so tough.
Just
to get her fired up.
Yes.
Just keeps her blood going.
Gets to get her fired up. It's amazing that this health care situation, how it's turned into such a, has people at each other, you know. I listen to the way people's voices rise, and they really get, this is really something that hits home with folks.
Yeah.
Well, your health is important, and when you go and change it, because, you know, and then your taxes are important because everybody's scared of Uncle Sam.
And when you start linking your taxes to your health care and the relationship between your government and the doc.
I have real problems with that, and I have problems with that. That's pretty scary that you could be penalized like that.
Yeah.
And, that's right.
They can take your house under this law.
It's not even so much taking your house. They
don't
they
have
can,
a house.
It's not about whether you got a house or not. The question is, you can take my way of life.
I don't have a house anyway. So what do I care? Why is he making me pay? I get free health care now. So, you know, you guys pay for me, or whoever pays for me. I don't know. The hospital pays for me.
If you get if you get free health care, then why are you receiving the $30,000 bill to have a child?
I just don't pay it.
Yeah,
I didn't
file a judgment against you. Now, wait a minute.
Not really.
And what are they going to take from me? You can't get nothing.
That makes absolutely no sense, what you're saying.
That's why I said what I said earlier.
You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you're not fooling me.
Very few.
Something doesn't ring right with your story, but...
What are you saying?
I'm saying that you're making this story up.
Why are you saying that, Brown?
Why am I saying that?
I don't have a year old baby. You're saying I don't have a year old baby. You're saying that it wasn't premature, and I didn't pay no bill. I don't understand what you're saying. That I paid a bill.
Careful,
I didn't pay a bill. I didn't pay either bill.
I got a $2,000 emergency room bill.
I didn't pay that either.
You asked me a number of questions. If you're in the financial position where you wouldn't be able to, where you don't have, when someone gets pregnant in this country, no matter how poor they are, they get on county aid and they're provided medical care, okay, and they're provided prenatal care, and it's available to everyone, and that's, you know, that's not.
I didn't pay for that.
Right.
I know
those same people that are provided prenatal care while they're pregnant, that they're also they don't pay when they go to the hospital to have the child born.
I didn't pay nothing. Who pays for that? That's what I'm asking. Now Obama wants me to pay for that, but I didn't pay for it before.
So you're. Your significant other got pregnant and didn't receive any prenatal care?
I don't.
No checkup to see how the pregnancy was progressing.
Let me interject one thing. He's probably right. He didn't pay for it, and I don't believe the story either. But he didn't pay for it. You know who paid for it? You know who paid for it? Stinking top 1%ers paid for it. You can thank them.
Well, the consumers
Guys. Listen, what happens is when you don't pay, a lot of times, a lot of hospitals have foundations. They write it off. A lot of times, you know, sticks are saying they go after you, but most times they don't. Depends on the hospital, but most of them don't.
There's some, but
the majority of them, I mean, when you go in there and don't have, if you don't have insurance, she just goes into oblivion, and that's why your pill costs $11 for aspirin.
Well,
but what really happens is somebody's paying for it, even though they're mystical, and the mystical people are not in the top 1%. The mystical people are the people that have insurance. There's people that walk in there. But this is the issue.
Y'all laughed at me.
But this is the issue at hand. There are better ways to skin this cat, and the cat that we skin is going to choke us.
Well, the disingenuousness that has been going through this entire debate from day one. Well, if you get in a car accident, you're just one car accident away from life. Well, 99.9% of automobile policies have MedPay on them. And if somebody else hits you, their car insurance is going to pay for your medical care. So that argument is a straw man argument.
I don't have car insurance either.
Oh, gosh, you just don't have anything.
Hold on. Guys.
If I hit you and put you in the hospital, you ain't getting nothing from me because I don't have car insurance.
MedPay on my insurance pays for it.
Yeah, everybody else that pays insurance got uninsurable.
Uninsured motorists.
Yeah, hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy. How are we doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Mr. Dover?
Oh, not bad talk. They just lied again in the news. They said that they are going to give Social Security recipients 1.5% raise, the lowest in history. It's a lie because a couple of years there was no increase whatsoever.
Right.
And they just increased the amount people pay in significantly, get that word out, significantly.
Yeah.
And as Social Security and Medicare were stolen from, they were stealing from Obamacare. It's just another fund to steal from. As Obamacare comes in, it will destroy the medical insurance companies and the medical professionals. More unemployed in the private sector and more government employment, which is a complete plan for the demise of this country. We can't afford more government employees.
You're right about that. You are right about that.
Steal from the fund. I have an idea, but I have an idea, and I don't know if anybody here would agree with it. Why didn't he just nationalize insurance companies and give everyone health care?
Oh, no.
You
know they're going to have a fit.
No,
they don't even want to do that now.
What good are the health insurance companies really doing any one of us? They're for profit. The costs in the medical industry are outrageous. For a checkup, for an aspirin, like Tracy said, everything must be. I mean, they must take what it's worth, or the time that's spent, or the pill. They must multiply it times 50. And it's not all because of people that go into emergency rooms or get free care. It's a for-profit business. And that's the difference between the way healthcare is in our country and it is in these other countries where there is socialized medicine.
You can't take the actual healthcare costs and put those on the insurance companies, though. Those
are
healthcare
costs. Just hypothetically speaking, if we were to eliminate the insurance companies from the equation,
yeah.
Well, then you're destroying private business.
This is private business is profiteering and harm, and doing more harm to people
because of government regulation.
There was no regulations of the health insurance industry. There was no regulation.
What if the health insurance companies? Hold on, just try to. I know it's a hypothetical situation, but let's just say the health insurance companies were gone.
Mm-hmm.
They
okay.
don't want the government doing anything.
No,
they want it all privatized.
Do you think that would make the cost of health care more, or would it make the cost of health care less?
It would make it
less.
More. It would go down in quality, and it would cost more. Because every time the government has done anything that in history, in any country in the world, that was the end result. You're confusing the health care insurance companies who are trying to help you be part of a risk pool so you can afford to pay for medical care with who sets the prices in medical care. Mm. The insurance companies don't set the prices. They're fighting to keep the prices down.
Dear sir, with all due respect, if you believe that insurance companies are trying to help people before they're trying to make a profit,
they're doing both. Well, then your choice
they're there to make a profit.
What's wrong with a business making a profit? Are you a communist? I mean,
Hold on. Let me make one point before this goes further, and I'll shut up. I was just refuted when I said that there's government regulation on insurance companies. There is, because there's no competition allowed outside state lines, and that is a government law.
And for an insurance company to do business in a state, there's certain laws and rules they have to comply with. Insurances was the first regulated industry in the United States before banking even. Insurances have been more regulated than any other business out there.
Because of the abuses.
No, not because of
the
abuses.
I don't think that at all. I think it's because the government wanted to get their fair share in the form of what we have now. That was one of the steps to get here.
Insurance companies have stockholders or members, if they're a mutual type company, those people are entitled to earn a little bit on their pension, aren't they? Do you want to take grandma's profit away, the little 2-3% a year she makes, helping an insurance company have its risk pool money assembled?
Yeah, but does it come at the risk of them denying someone a life-saving surgery?
Because they met their lifetime cap,
so that they can get a little bit? Diva,
when you don't get $1 million worth of payments from an insurance company, it's because you didn't read the contract you signed. You only paid the risk share as if you could earn, if you could be compensated up to $1 million. Now, if you wanted to pay double the premium, you could be compensated up to $2 million.
It's you signed the contract. You chose to buy it. You're like the person who wants to complain to McDonald's because you got fat eating
three Big Macs a day. This is why Brown is making a case for single payer or a nationalized health care system because people can't afford
higher cost
premiums. People don't choose when they're going to get sick and then they're going to need recovery.
They do.
Well, people would probably never have to go to the hospital or the doctor if they didn't have to. I would believe that.
So
but
the
reality is that even reasonably healthy people, once they get up in age, you're going to start to have some type of ailments and health problems.
70% of most of the illness in the United States with our senior citizens was from lifestyle choices they made. Bad choices is 70% of all disease in this country, according to the AMA June 6th report, 2002. Even the AMA is finally saying that. We got too fat, we did too many drugs, too many carcinogenic exposures in our lifestyle, cigarettes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The baby boomers are a disaster. They brought most of their illness on themselves. And by the time somebody's age 65, they're on 10 medications, 6 of them are to counteract the side effects of the first 4.
So we punish them for poor judgment.
Why should I pay for somebody who's hard?
We punish them for being susceptible to all the advertising and everything that's pushed on us to consume all of these things.
I don't recall LSD commercials on TV in the 60s.
You didn't need commercials; you had word of mouth.
You also had pop music that was also being promoted.
Yeah, you had Ted Nugent who didn't do drugs. So, come on, it was choice. You still have choice. Nobody forced you.
Okay, nobody's denying that they're made bad choices. Nobody's denying that. But do we let them die for poor judgment?
Ted Nugent should try some drugs because at least he wouldn't be such a miserable hard-on wanting to shoot everybody. If anybody's a candidate,
call him a miserable hard-on.
Definitely. He's definitely a candidate for medical marijuana here in California. I don't recommend SLSD
now,
to anybody.
Hold on, guys. We've gone somewhere with it, but at least you guys, listen, I left you guys. You guys are talking about my guest that called in just a few minutes ago and said he was on medical marijuana.
No, we're talking about Ted Nugent. He's talking about how Ted Nugent is not on drugs and he's a hard rocker, so I guess he's saying that he was involved in the, you know, he was surrounded by drugs and drug user and he didn't participate, and I suggested maybe he should try some medical marijuana and then he wouldn't be such a miserable hard on.
Right, somebody said the reason that we were using drugs in the 60s because of the music, and I said, well, then you need to listen to Ted Nugent. Hey, Tracy, I want to go back to your original question. Give President Obama his way. And here's what's wrong with this whole health care bill. And everybody can go check this
historically.
No, just
give him his way and everything.
Yeah, here's what's wrong with this. He never wrote the bill. Usually when a president has a great piece of legislation to be their hallmark legislation for their administration, they write it, they send it out over to Congress, and the process starts. Obama says,
Mike, where in the world did you – wait a minute. Hold on, Diva. This is between me and Mike, so we can fight a little bit today.
Yeah.
Where did you get the presidents write their own legislation? Who told you
They
that?
Don't write – no. You're not listening. When they want a great initiative – they write it down on paper what they're after. They submit it to the Congress, and that's when the legislative debate starts. Obama just said, hey, let's get health care, and left it up to Pelosi and Reid to structure what we have. He never knew.
I agree with that.
When Johnson had the Great Society, when Kennedy had his great movement, every major president who's ever done anything, including Roosevelt, sent over a memorandum of what the outline was, what they were hoping to accomplish.
We're mad because he didn't send over a memorandum and let Congress do their job.
What Tracy said was, give him his head and give him what he wants. The problem is he never really told anybody what he really wanted. He just said, well, let's have health care.
He never wrote down what he wanted. I shouldn't have to write it down. I can tell you verbally what I want, and then you guys hash out the details.
That's not the way the legislative process works, because if verbal would work, then let's phone it in.
What the heck? The
Diva,
legislative
process
bills are written by Congress.
Didn't I just tell you this between me and Mike?
Sorry, Trace. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Thanks. Appreciate
Tracy
it.
And I need a moment alone here, folks.
Mike.
Yes, sweetheart.
What makes you think that that's how it works?
Because if every president who's ever put forth any legislation that they wanted to have proposed for their administration,
every
they wrote
president?
It out like that. Well, every president who's ever accomplished anything, they wrote something down, they sent it over to the Congress and said, this is what I'd like to work on, and then that's when the bipartisan debating started on it. That's how it works. Now,
no.
I'm not saying legislation starts in the White House. I did not say that. I said when a president comes into office and he's got a great idea, he puts his idea in writing and sends it on over to start the debate on it. And then
what I'm saying to you, I don't believe any of them have had, as for a very long time, have had that much hands-on.
Johnson had it.
Reagan may have had it, maybe.
And Carter had
Johnson,
it. And Bill Clinton had his, which
Carter,
he wanted.
Carter did, no,
Clinton
no,
tried
no,
and backfired on
no,
him.
And
no, Johnson
Clinton
had
didn't
it. The Great Society was Johnson's idea. It didn't come out of Congress.
Are you sure? Are you sure that it was Johnson's idea?
Well, then the Biography Channel lied for 2 hours last month when they did Johnson's life story.
Can I ask you? But see, that's what I'm saying. They lie. They lie. We know they lie. I mean, you can't go by the Biography Channel and think they told the truth.
Well, that's kind of a minute.
Because they're going to make Obama out to be a prince, and we've seen them. We've seen the propaganda make him to be the best thing that ever walked on water, and he's never been inside of a pool.
And they said Roosevelt wanted
Tracy, I don't know anybody that
said what he wanted.
I don't know anybody that believes that, particularly people that were once supporters. Diva's the only one that I know that doesn't see any faults with this president, and I'm sure she has her doubts. And many people on the other side of the political spectrum are completely dismayed with this president.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Alice.
Hey, I wanted to piggyback on what Mike said, because I think other people may not think so, but I think what he said is an excellent point. And I think it lends itself to people's charges about Obama that he doesn't know how to lead, because in any organization, company, whatever, the CEO, that's what they do. I mean, that's how you have to be able to effectuate put your ideas in writing, and that's how people know. And then the people under you, you know, you put the right people in the right place to execute what your direction is. And I think that he's emphasized it's a very good point, because Obama, he's never really done anything in the real world as a in terms of leadership, especially in an organization where he had to actually do anything. And what he's doing, even with the presidency, it just shows how much of a politician he is. He's so slippery. You know, he doesn't want to be on the hook for anything, not even his own flagship bill. And I think it goes to that, because then anything that you say that, well, you know, you wanted this. He's like, well, I never wrote that. He has a way out of everything, because
he turns
never,
into Sergeant Schultz.
He just never puts his foot down about anything. He never sticks a pole in the sand on anything. And that's, you know, it just goes to show his lack of leadership. And I just think that what Mike said is, you know, people may have overlooked that, and I just think it's an excellent point showing that he just doesn't know how to lead, because
Alex, I agree with that part. He's never known how to lead, because you can't go to the legislature the way that he did and only vote present. Right. It doesn't work that way. If you can't make a decision, you definitely can't lead somebody to water. I agree with you on all of that. You are right. I just don't go with the fact of he's the only president that doesn't do his own legislation, because I don't believe that, because I think a lot of them
on
if
all
not
major
most of them.
Initiatives, on all on presidents
most,
who have
on,
legacy.
On most major initiatives, most of them have, are getting their initiatives, and they have been redrawn by other people.
Well,
and
somebody
I think
in
that's
their
a,
cabinet
I think
or
that's
their
bad.
Lawyer or a friend draws it up. But then they go on TV. Tracy, I've seen this. Tracy, I'm older than you are, sweetheart, and I've seen this on TV. They go on TV. They ask for airtime and prime time, and they come on, and all the presidents have done it, Kennedy and all, said, today, da-da-da, I'm aware of this situation. That's why today I contacted the congressional leaders, and I propose that we begin immediately to work on legislation that will fix this problem, and I've sent over my memorandum of suggestions or something, and we're going to be working on this because we know it's a problem. They come out and do the launch, the official launch of the mission, whatever
right.
the mission is that they want to take.
But our U.S.
And
Constitution has this
sure.
set up where the legislative branch writes, passes bills,
you're
and laws.
You're confusing the legal process with leadership. One has nothing to do with the other.
This is the issue. The legislation was written by mm-hmm. but was written by insurance lobbyists and insurance companies.
Oh, you finally hit the nail on the head.
The issue
was
this
that,
piece of legislation, it was conceptualized. He said something, it was conceptualized, and it was executed, and it was done in the name of the president, but it was. But the backhanded people were the insurance companies.
No, it was,
and it
Pelosi
was not written,
and Reed. It was Pelosi and Reed who brought in the insurance companies because it was over their head. It was above their pay grade, too. But Pelosi and
again,
Reed, when they
again.
Had majorities in both those
but
houses,
was,
they wrote the legislation.
That's because
but again,
they
was, again, hold, Eva, again, it, Pelosi did, Pelosi and them were driving the train governed by the insurance company.
Exactly. And this is the only reason I brought this topic up was to go back to your question. Why don't you let this president do what he wants to do? The problem is he doesn't do anything anyway. So you're going to tell him to do what? He's never shown the initiative of never laying down, this is what I want to do. You're going to let him go do what?
Yeah, you got to give him what he wants.
He don't know what he wants. That's why he's got Michelle.
Yes, you do.
She tells him what he wants.
The only time that he tried that, where he stuck his feet in the ground and took a firm stance, was on Syria.
Gay marriage.
And that, well, gay marriage, he flipped on that. He went with the flow. He was you know, he believed that marriage was between a man and a woman. These are not.
I think was his original belief all along.
I thought it was broccoli. He took a stance.
It was what that he took a stance on?
Broccoli. When Michelle wanted him to eat broccoli out of
right,
the garden.
Right. He doesn't take a lot of stances. This is not that kind of guy. I would bet. No, this is his personality, and a lot of people were troubled with it during the first election, is that he wouldn't fight back. And yeah. I doubt that he's ever really had a fight in his life. That's not the way this guy operates. And when someone says, when someone says that he's, you know, slippery and sly like that, he is, and it's worked for him. As far as him being a leader, he was head of the Harvard Law Review.
No,
you know,
in name only.
And what authority do they have?
I don't
because
think
you
well,
have
not the authority. Not
he was
the,
a,
authority
he wasn't
that you're
an advocate.
It's an important position, and he was on the. He was the president of it. He was in charge of it. So that does take some leadership skills.
Organizer, and he ran one of the most successful campaigns that this country has ever seen.
He didn't run that campaign.
Matter, he was ahead of it.
No, he wasn't, Diva. That's what we're trying to say.
He was the product of that campaign.
But he did not run that campaign, even though they were masterful at the execution of it.
He put people in place.
Diva, he did not.
You
they came and
they
got him.
Okay,
that's,
okay.
There you go. They found when he got up. Hold on, Bees Brown. When he got up in 1994 at the DNC convention and executed that speech as a junior senator, because they went and found him in the first place when he was in Chicago, when he ran against Alan Keyes, and the guy got disqualified. Obama has been stepping on people all along the way, and they went and found him, and they put him in place, and they shaped him. Even though he is brilliant in his execution, But he did not do that. But the people that were around him shaped that campaign that was masterful.
Right. Axelrod, Jared.
I'm trying to figure out, because
the
DNC was behind
Hillary Clinton.
I
think they found him a lot longer before that, though. I think he's been groomed for a long, long time.
You want to know?
Well, I would hate to see how y'all feel about me if I ever ran for politics and made it.
I'll let you know on Facebook.
Who would vote for a woman who almost lost the fight?
I don't understand how anyone can be so narcissistic that would want to even take that job and get all of that abuse. Because it doesn't matter what party you're from, what I'm saying is,
people put perceptions on people without really knowing their backstory, knowing who they are. I'm just saying, I could see myself rising in politics and then you guys do the same thing to me.
Diva, you've discussed more intelligent things here on this line, even though we disagreed with you, than this president has ever said. And here,
man,
you
I've been called uninformed,
news.
Stupid, Kool-Aid drinker. I've been called a B-I-T-C-H. I've been called
No, you ain't been called a bitch on here.
I've been threatening
inbox.
No,
I've never used
Diva,
that word.
Diva,
I said
Diva, Democrat. Not on my show. Not on here.
No, not on the show, but I've been called stupid, uninformed, ignorant,
Diva,
idiot.
No, not on here.
Yes, I have. Jeff used to call me all the time.
Well, Jeff used to say stupid
Jeff
a lot.
Jeff doesn't count.
For sure.
Jeff doesn't count.
Jeff doesn't count. And I won't even tell you some of the things he said to me in the chat room, but then again,
oh,
that's
my
another
God.
Thing. Yeah, I set him back, though.
Those babies.
Right.
Hey, if you're going to be in politics, you got to get used to it. There's going to be 100 Jeffs a week that are going to take a shot at you. Get used to it. He was getting you ready.
That's why I
said
I'm a glutton for punishment. I keep calling into this show, even though, y'all make me feel like, woof, like I've been through the ringer afterwards.
No, we don't, Diva.
Yeah, y'all
no,
do.
You have been through the
no,
ringer. That's why I called in today. It was just to come help you a little bit. Just maybe to have a
diversion. Well, Diva,
not,
you're
maybe
a
Maybe not help, you just have a diversion or something. So they would just all
no,
be
no, no.
Diva, you're a liberal calling into a conservative show. That's the reason why me as a white guy, I don't go to Black Power conventions. I know better.
There's no sense in this.
What is going on with you and the headset today? Do you have problems over there at the sticks?
No,
you keep on changing them.
I'm trying to play producer and find stuff for bumpers and stuff.
And I've been sitting here, guys.
Everybody's been talking. You don't need my input.
Yes, we do. I'm sitting over watching you, and you keep on taking off the headset and putting on the headset and taking off the headset and putting on. I'm like, what is he doing? What are you doing?
I'm trying to play my second job, which is producer, which is find bumper music based on topic.
You find some bumper music for this topic. I'll start paying you. Hey, the number 347. Yeah, 945-5229. Yeah, Matt.
I got to get this out.
Okay, get it out, because you've been crying for a while.
It's something that I heard this morning, and it was incredible. I was listening to a certain radio show earlier this morning that wasn't Tracy and Friends, because they're not 24 hours, and they really should be. Anyway, so it would fit into my schedule a little better. But this certain radio talk show host was interviewing they called up Bill Kristol, and they called up I've already forgotten the Democrat strategist name.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I'm sorry.
It's nothing.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize my mute was off, and somebody handed me something, and I said thank you.
Oh,
sorry.
Nice.
Oh,
okay.
I wasn't thanking you for what you were saying. Trust me. I didn't go nice all of a sudden.
But, yes. So, anyway, they were interviewing Bill Kristol and Joe Trippi. And, granted, Joe Trippi has nothing to do with the Congress or anything right now. He's just a strategist for the Democrats. But he was talking numbers this morning, and he was talking about a new study that came out by these experts that said, well, only between 2 to 14 million people might be affected by this health care law and lose their insurance. First of all, and he said it so matter-of-factly, like it was nothing. So really you're talking about a 12 million person, quote-unquote, gap, okay, by the experts. 12 million, which is ridiculous. So he's talking about, well, you know, it's only a 2 to 14 million and we could deal with that, and literally was defending this. Then a caller calls into the talk show and says, no, 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 I saw the same thing. And it's not saying 2 to 14 million people. It's saying 2 to 14 million insurance policy. which means that you could average three people per policy, and on the low end, you're talking about, what, roughly 9 to 10 million people? Or on the high end, you're talking almost 40 to 50 million people that are going to lose their insurance because of this Obamacare. Now, if they're going to admit to that and try to talk around it, and I think both of these numbers are low. I think it's going to be – I'm looking at in 3 months, if this is allowed to continue and there's no – there's I don't want to see anybody hold it off. I want to see it continue. But in 3 months, I see an 80% loss of insurance policies to people who had any insurance claims. I'm not saying under – you know, where the numbers are under you know, what they're saying right now as far as, you know, if you're underinsured or whatever they're saying in accordance to the law, I see an 80% loss of insurance nationwide.
Right. And here's the part that nobody's ever said, and I'm glad you brought everything out what you said. But here, let's go back all the way to the beginning. Let's take the Nile River and go all the way back up to Victoria Falls where the water starts. Wasn't this all about to make sure that the 20 million uninsured were insured? So now we kick 40 million people off of insurance so that 20 million could get insured. Where's the math in that? And that's what's wrong with government running anything,
Mr. Brown. They're going to have insurance. They still got to purchase insurance. So it's not you're going to be left without.
How are you going to get blood out of a turnip, Diva? If you tell somebody making $30,000 a year that now your insurance policy, even with subsidies, is going to be $400 a month, where's that money going to come from?
And let me say this.
It's
she
impossible.
Said, she said at least they're going to be insured. No. That's not how it was sold. That's not how it was sold at all. I'm allowed to keep my insurance. I don't care if they cover me, if I stub my toe, and that's it. That's what I promised.
Diva, you keep bringing up this stuff, and it's just it's not going to happen the way you think it is because the numbers don't work. What we're talking about is people making $30,000 a year that are going to be spending 25% of their annual income on insurance premiums, not doctor bills, insurance premiums.
I'll tell you how that goes when the insurance exchanges come up, and then I have people who wants to sign up, and I will help them sign up.
My wife's employer, I'm telling you right now, the average person where my wife works makes around $40,000 a year. All new employees after January 1st, 2014 are going to be given a policy with a $10,000 annual deduction.
This is the beauty of it. You can go into the exchanges and find practically the same policy, probably for cheaper.
But
so
not the same policy.
We won't
I was guaranteed by Mr. Obama that I don't need to have something that's semi the same. I could keep my policy and my doctor.
This is what
I've
been saying about
my doctor
is the
most important
that saying. You remember in the beginning, all the opposition, everybody from Sarah Palin to Peter King were saying, this is going to kick people who has employee-contributed insurance off of their insurance, and the government's going to force them into the exchanges. They're also going to take people from Medicare and force them into exchanges. Then you have President Obama coming out saying, no, that's not going to happen. You get to keep your policy if you like it. Now, no one asked him for clarity, and, yeah, he was wrong for not clarifying because he assumed that when he was answering all of that they were going to understand what he said about that. He wasn't talking about, you're going to – because they knew in 2010 that people were going to be kicked off, that the insurance companies was going to do this.
Shouldn't they have come out then and said, we know some of y'all insurance companies are going to cause y'all to lose your policies.
Don't worry. You'll get to go into
the exchange. 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back, and we'll see you on the other side.
I knew, and everybody who argued against this health, this crazy pile of crap insurance thing called Obamacare, we railed against it because of
why
this
why don't
thing.
You just shop
we
for cheaper insurance on the exchanges? You're arguing to me. It's the same thing as Hillary said. What matters it now? What does it matter now? I'm channeling Hillary Clinton. What does it matter now? okay?
Well,
this
that's because it wasn't your family that had four
you're
dead people.
You're upset about it. I will give you that. You're upset. I'm sorry that this is happening to you, and you're upset.
I am beyond
now,
upset.
Now you have the chance to go into the exchanges and find cheaper insurance and get better than what you were getting.
I don't
getting.
Want cheaper insurance, Diva. I want
well,
what
know,
I was promised.
Sir,
I want
sir,
my
sir,
doctor.
Well, then
sir,
fine.
Sir, I understand your anger,
me.
But life is full of changes. This is just one change you're going to have to deal with.
You're that upset because because of words. Because you weren't
told exactly.
Well,
he got misled, but he got misled. He has a right to be upset. But he was probably against the whole thing from the day that it was introduced.
They're all against the whole thing. That's why this argument makes no sense to me, because you are not mad just because of some words. You're mad because you are against the whole thing from the beginning.
They won't,
you don't
I know they
like
won't want to hear this.
I knew how. What I knew what it looked like in the end, Diva. I know how to look at history. I understand what socialism is, and I knew
but
that
how when we've never had
it.
Socialism in this country, so you will not know how anything works in this country.
It's called the New Deal.
And how did that work? That screwed our
Excuse
country?
Me.
It worked great. It worked great ever since every single freaking year that we have a new presidential election, they talk about reforming it.
Calm down, Matt.
Hold it.
That's Matt
Diva,
doing this?
Diva.
Matt.
Diva.
Oh.
Honey, go back. Honey, go back and read the Pilgrim Chronicles. The first 2 years when they landed at Pilgrim Rock, they organized the Socialist Society. When nobody would tend the gardens or tend to the animals, and people were starving and hungry.
I'm talking about when this country was founded.
Let him finish talking.
When the pilgrims landed here, they were still British subjects.
No, when they landed here, they were independent. They weren't. I'm telling you, they tried socialism at the original Pilgrim Rock plantation. They tried it down in Virginia.
Have we ever tried something? Have you ever experienced has this country ever experienced socialism since we've gained our independence from the British?
Have you ever traveled? Okay, Diva, let me ask you something. Have you ever
socialized
outside the United States, and have you ever gone to a socialistic country or to a communist country?
I'm not denying this.
Let me answer this question, Diva. Please. The most and I'm not some advocate for socialism, and there's a difference between socialism and communism. Please don't confuse the two, okay? And a quick definition for communism, just for everyone, is a centralized government where everything is done from the central government. That is a system of government. Socialism is an economic system, okay, where everyone shares equally, okay? The most advanced and highest quality of life countries in terms of life expectancy, education rates, health rates, literacy rates exist in the Scandinavian countries, in Sweden, in Denmark, in Finland, in Norway. Okay?
Hold it. You're not putting the rest out there. Sweden,
yes, they
Finland.
Have very high. They
Sweden
have, they have
Finland
very
has
high
the
taxes.
Highest suicide rate also in the world. Switzerland and those countries, you cannot rate them because they have a cash flow because of the center of international banking. See, if we had something that the whole
Hold
world
on,
had
you didn't
to buy
let, you
from
didn't let,
us
you didn't,
and
you didn't
overpay
let me finish,
us for,
you didn't let me finish my thought.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll be brief. Okay. They have the highest standard of living. Okay, they are social democracies. So socialism can work. Okay, Switzerland doesn't apply here. Switzerland also has a very, very high standard of living,
mm-hmm.
probably one of the highest in the world. Switzerland is also a very beautiful place and clean. And a lot of the social problems that we have in other parts of the world don't exist in these countries. So socialism can work. Yes, they pay very high taxes. So just saying that socialism doesn't work is just doesn't ring true. And maybe they have high rates of suicide. That may have more to do with the fact of, you know, that the sun doesn't come out as much as it does here in beautiful California. But socialism and those countries do work. And anyone that goes there and that lives there talks about how the quality of life is just that much better.
Right, and you can't emigrate to those countries, and you can't go there and get on any of the social benefits as a non-citizen. Well, so they never have the debate about what do you do with all the illegal aliens, and they never had the debate about.
Well, then we can have that debate, and I will stand with.
No, and let me add to what he's saying. Okay, also these countries, which separate them from the countries in Western Europe, is they were not colonial powers. Okay, so you have countries like England, France, Spain, and even Germany to a lesser degree, that were colonial powers, okay, which means they had empires, and they colonialized countries to take advantage of these countries, the natural resources, and they did, in England in particular. So you have the effect of them being colonial powers, and now they have people that have immigrated who are part of, who are actually British subjects or who are French citizens, which is part of their colonialism. So part of the reason that they have with the immigration and these multitudes of people coming there, and that plays a big part. You're absolutely right, because Sweden, Finland, they're homogeneous countries where most of the people, you know, 85% of the people are of the same, ethnic heritage and
exactly.
background.
Exactly.
And I think people don't mind as much helping people that they feel are like themselves. And I think part of the problem why we hear so much lately about social services and entitlements is that people that work every day feel like there's people that are not like them from a different culture, from a, you know,
right.
whether it be illegal aliens
right.
or black, that why am I helping these
right.
people?
Right.
You know,
And they also are protected under the umbrella that the son-of-a-bitch countries like the United States, the dirty United States, provide for them, because they're not diverting one-third of their GMP to arms production for their own defense.
Well, you know something? It's not our defense.
It's easy
our defense. We also have an empire.
Yeah.
We also have army bases all over the world.
Yeah,
we also
by invitation. Those are by treaty and invitation. And like Japan told us to get out, we're closing
still,
Okinawa.
It's still, if we didn't have an empire, okay, and we weren't so concerned.
No, if we didn't want to spend $1 trillion every time somebody cried help by building the chain of supply to that region of the world, that's why we have the bases, so we can deploy.
Okay, all of that is debatable. But we're talking about here in America.
No, but let us continue real quick with this, because I think I have an answer for most of what he's saying. And there's a balance between what he's saying and I'm saying where the actual truth is. But we have a military-industrial complex that's going to be fed regardless.
Yes.
It's a beast that's going to eat. Eisenhower
right.
warned of it and exists. Right there in Ohio, they manufacture Abrams tanks.
Yeah.
The generals went to Congress, okay, went to Congress and say, hey, we don't need any more of these tanks. I'm not sure where they make them, but it's not easy to Google and find out. It's the Abrams tanks. They said, we don't need any more of these tanks.
Right.
Let's face facts. $1 trillion for the defense is just too much. We don't need it. Do we need these tanks? No. Can we use one less submarine? The submarines cost $63 million. There's a lot of fat and there's a lot of waste there as well, and it does and it doesn't get the attention. And you know, maybe I'm a bit of a liberal, but I would rather feed people here in this country, than build these weapons that we don't need. So there's factors as to the reason why things the way they are.
Unfortunately,
that's all I'm
weapons
saying.
That we don't need were right up there with the Cornhusker kickback to get the last vote to make Obamacare the law of the land from the Nebraska congressman who was the holdout or senator, whatever he was. But that's how these military contracts, because there's somebody in Ohio that says, well, if we shut this down, we're going to have 8,000 people out of work in a little town, too.
And the economics
of it, yes, there's this military-industrial complex, and yes, they make a profit, but they also keep millions of people employed around the world at high-paying jobs, I might add, that are a heck of a lot better than Walmart and everything the liberals complain about, So it's more complicated than just they cut the budget. Now, here's something where I hope we could agree on. The Department of Energy, since the first gas crunch in the early 70s, has spent over $1 trillion. The Department of Energy has spent over $1 trillion in 40-some-odd years. we still have no energy policy in this country. Yet, when you look at the invoices, matter of public record, under a Freedom of Information Act, you can look at their annual budget. Half of that money was spent on remodeling their offices every single year for 40 years. For an agency that does
That's
nothing.
Something we can all get angry about.
That money could have gone to pay health care for people who were pre-existing conditions.
I agree with you, and the same argument can be made, and it's not a defense, but the same argument can be made that look at all the jobs that building these buildings, and the bureaucracy. It feeds tons of people on the federal payroll. So the same argument can be made. So this is
stop by my house, just give me 1 hour's notice. There'll be food on the table for you, and there'll be clean sheets in the guest room.
Well,
that's my policy to take care of my brethren.
I'll keep that in mind. I guess I'd have
I keep my social welfare program very simple and basic.
Right, I have a couch downstairs that they're welcome to
from time to time. Exactly.
Yeah, you can help yourself to the refrigerator and cable TV
The Jews on holidays have a very, very good tradition. I like it. There's always that one extra plate at the table just in case someone shows up.
Well, that's a good idea, but no, and I guess all of the problems that we're talking about, they're far more complicated. They're far more complicated than we would like to admit to. And when I hear these simplistic solutions for these complicated problems, if you just do this, then that wouldn't happen. You know, someone says something about Mexico. I'm like, come on, there's a whole lot more going on there.
At least we don't have open armed conflict on our Mexican border. You know, we're blessed that way. Our border with Canada, you know, isn't even patrolled. You know, it's the longest unprotected border between two nations in the world, and it's because we've got good relationships with Canada, and we do have good relationships with Mexico, except for the drug lords, you know, and Mexico suffers from our stupidity because there's a drug traffic because Americans buy those drugs. If Americans didn't buy those drugs, they wouldn't ship them here to store them, that's for sure.
But then my thing is, okay, they have it so good there. Why is everybody coming here?
Have it so good there. Economically, there aren't jobs and stuff down there.
Infrastructure isn't built. The elite has it good. There's probably the top, you know, 10-15%.
Right.
They have it darn good. I vacationed in Cancun in July.
Sure.
And that's the month that a lot of Mexican nationals take off. Yeah. And these people, well, they'll surprise you because they look, you know, a lot of them are blonde hair and blue eyed. They haven't mixed with the, you know, mestizo or the brown population, and they've kept their bloodlines pure. They consider themselves descendants of Spain. At any rate, they have nannies and SUVs, and they're, you know, they're out there with the rest of us Americans.
The first one to make a comment that May was then being disingenuous then.
I'm sorry?
So someone to have made that comment, you know, well, we got free health care, you get a free house, then that person was technically being disingenuous, because if it's like that, then you would think you want to
pay. 90% of the population is poor and struggling.
Yeah.
You know, and it's even worse in some of the Central American companies. And it's probably maybe, you know, 80% of the population. You know, Mexico City and some of the big cities have, you know, huge infrastructures.
Sure.
You know,
and most of these countries are what? Socialist governments, communist governments? So I get when...
There's a difference. I mean,
I know there's a difference, but what I'm saying is I get why the right is has a little trepidation, fears that, because they're looking at other countries and they're seeing, well, that's what they have and look what they have and that will happen to us.
Well,
but you have to realize America started from nothing and came into something. Great Britain was a monarchy. We saw what they did when we wanted to start our own country. We knew that's not something we wanted to do. So why not look at all these other countries that have all these programs that we would like, but say, you know, we don't have to do it that way. We can do it better. I mean, that's how I was always taught. You can build off of something and make it better.
Because you can't do it better when you're headed in a certain direction. We've tried this for 4,000 years. 4,000 years we've been trying with the ideas that we're reverting back to. This is a 4,000-year-old idea. The American idea.
Been around that long.
The American idea. I understand that, but we're reverting to that 4,000-year-old idea, is my point. America was built just a little, almost 300 years ago, a little over 250 years ago. America was built with a brand, it's the newest idea on the planet, and we are railing against it, even though it worked and built the strongest nation on the planet Earth.
Well, it didn't work without collateral damage. And just like there was colonialism that the European countries would pay for, you know, the United States has a legacy of, you know, slavery and discrimination against all types of other groups as well. But
keep talking about
it. Better. The beauty of America is that America can change.
No, I'm just being so funny. I like the song with you talking.
Yeah, keep that thing. You just pull them on auto and circulate the air over there.
Baby, you're the
you know, we've been back for a while, guys. We've got to listen to a little of the conversation since we wanted to catch up where you guys were, since you guys had moved way past. And I heard that nobody does it better.
Right.
And, I just had to play it. What?
Tracy, I had a meltdown when you went into break, and I need to apologize to the people on the phone for it, even Diva. I'm sorry for the meltdown.
Oh,
After five, have a meltdown.
Wouldn't be any. It wouldn't be any fun if people didn't have meltdowns. This wouldn't make radio.
That's true. So I apologize,
what did you do?
Everybody. Well, I didn't.
Nothing.
Swear.
He just got a little uptight about the whole healthcare talk.
Why?
I have to ask him.
Because I'm a miserable, stinking, history-learning conservative, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you and I, in this regard, Matt, we're awful close alike, because I'm going back and I'm reading about, ever since Hillary Clinton made that statement about, well, I'm an early 20th century progressive, I listened to some other people, and I started thinking, what's that all about? And I started reading what the early 20th century progressives were all about. These people are scary, scary people. Theodore Roosevelt was an evil, evil dude.
Why do you say that?
Because he was.
No, why would you call the man evil?
He's on Mount Rushmore, and he was an evil, sadistic dude.
So why would you put him on Mount Rushmore and then get mad when they cover him up? Why do you care if Obama covers him up? That's why they covered him up, because he wasn't a good guy.
But they covered up the other three good ones.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Just checking.
Well.
You can't please you guys for love nor money. Be covering him up.
Well,
and get
I, don't know how he, I don't know how he got there.
Tell me you don't know how he got there.
I mean, he must have had really good media people. Because, no, what I'm learning about Theodore Roosevelt was he was a sadistic dude.
He was?
Jeez. He was?
Yeah.
No. Isn't he the good guy? He brought a Social Security, didn't he?
No, that was his cousin.
No, his cousin,
FDR.
Oh.
But that was the guy who was in love with Hitler.
Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive that stopped that put some stops to the robber barons.
Yeah.
That's the myth, and you know that he's also this is just a little
story.
Do you know where the term teddy bear came from?
Yep.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think he was in Yosemite or in one of the, you know, national parks, and he was a hunter, and he was hunting bears, and he came across baby bears, and instead of shooting the bears, they didn't shoot the bears, and they named the bears teddy bears. It has nothing to do with his politics and policies.
Yeah,
because
he started all the national forests and everything else, all the national parks. He started all that for people because he was an outdoors person.
Right. And that's Teddy and the Rough Riders. I'm sure he had a gruff way about himself, but you know.
What was evil about him? Or wicked or bad?
Why would you call him evil?
Well, he had a temper.
Matt, he lost his cool.
Okay, I'm Teddy Roosevelt.
I'm Teddy.
No. I mean, this guy was sadistic. When he was in charge of the Rough Riders, he told a man he was being a coward because he was hiding behind a tree in a hail of bullets and forced him to stand up, and he got shot in the head.
You knew the job when you were signing up for it, son.
That's right.
I mean, he also beat his wife and his mother.
I'm trying to figure out what
guy. He spent millions upon millions of dollars going around Congress and doing public works projects that ended up to be boondoggles.
Teddy Roosevelt?
I have difficulty with you attacking our great Republican esteemed former president.
Actually, he was to the left of Woodrow Wilson. His ideas were
still
to the
Republican.
Left of Woodrow Wilson.
Well, we know
what
that
got
to
do with anything.
It was a
so
joke.
So John McCain, but John McCain and Ted Cruz aren't.
You know, John McCain was almost president.
John McCain and Ted Cruz aren't on the same page either.
Oh, yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Ted Cruz is on a page in a book all by himself.
I don't know. They look alike if you ask me.
Hey, did you guys?
Roosevelt beat his wife and her mother. He beat both of them.
They both look alike to him.
Well, Ted Cruz and John McCain do have something in common.
And that
they
is?
They were born outside of the United States.
They were both born outside of the United States.
Right. If you take the letters in their names and re-scramble them, it spells Nostradamus predicts the end.
Right.
I've seen that.
Mike, you have too much time on your hands, honey.
But that's because you won't come to your senses and run away with me, baby.
Oh, no.
Wow, there's a baby and a sweetheart in one show. That's fantastic.
Wow. Tracy,
We're doing good. Yeah,
I have a question. What do you feel about Governor Kasich expanding Medicare in the way that he did it? Bypassing the General Assembly and going through the control board to get it expanded. And now the General Assembly is suing him.
Let me say it this way. I agree with the expansion of Medicaid. When I asked the governor
Medicaid.
Yeah.
When I asked why he did it, he said this is his reason. He said here in Ohio we got a lot of people hurting, and there's some money that's available for us to help them, and I think we have to do it.
Uh-huh.
That's what he said. And he said that as long as there was going to be the resources there, he was going to do his best to help people who needed help. The way
he
went about it.
The resources are going to run out fast, crazy.
You're right, Bianchi. They're going to run out. But the goal is by the time they run out, to hopefully have them to where they can actually have a job or be productive, to where they can actually start being sustainable and standing on their own two feet. The goal for this administration is to help you out of where you are to take you where you want to go.
Exactly.
That's his philosophy.
Exactly.
And so, hold on, you asked me, I stand with him with that philosophy. But so as he said to the people of Youngstown on Monday, he said, if you want to get your children educated and if you want to do something, if you want to get Youngstown City Schools out of the rut there is, you have the weight of the governor's office behind you. Just contact me and we will make this happen. You can't ask for more than that. So we can
well,
take
what
you
they
if you're,
do
if you're
give
impoverished, if you're impoverished, if you're impoverished
what,
and you're poor, then you, what, we need to help you where you are, but we don't need to let you stay there. We need to pull you out, dig you out if you want to go. And if you don't, then you got to do what you want.
Tracy, with all due respect, when you start getting intoxicated or soothed by the words of a politician, you're setting yourself up for disappointment, in my opinion. He will say
that's just my opinion. Brown.
Right.
But this is what she asked me about something that already happened because not only did he say it before he did it, he went to the legislature and they said no, and he found a loophole in the law and went and got it done anyhow.
We're talking about a Republican governor that went against a Republican legislature.
He also
did something that was very unpopular with the Republicans throughout the entire state.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not really engulfed in what everybody says, but you have to understand, he really, I don't know the particulars. He's really special because I see you can't control him.
You can't.
People try. It doesn't work too well. I mean, when he comes up with these ideas and, you know, even when you say, well, you know, Governor, it's not a good idea for you to do it that way. And Governor, I don't think you want to go down that road. He says, I really don't care. I'm going to go anyhow. And he does it. And then he steamrolls down the road, and then all you can do is say, ooh.
I have to agree.
The governor of Ohio, what's his name?
Scary guy.
His name is John Kasich.
Not that way. I won't vote for him, but I won't vote for the other, for the Democrat either. So.
Well, you know, somebody mentioned something about robber barons. What put a check to robber barons was the ability of the settlers to possess the peacekeeper, guns. That's what put a check to the robber barons. Especially in the West. Before governments was formed in the West, 49ers had established their own justice system, and they just came out, those politicians came out and built off of it. So that's another prime example. You never want to give up your guns.
Governor Kasich weighed in on all the lawsuits. He said, aha, they fell into my trap. That's my new economic stimulus package. All them lawyers spending all that money they get from me. That's his take on that. Just reading the news article right here now.
Mike, you're blind.
He's the onion.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
forget.
Tracy, when can, when can I stop playing the blind guy on the call? When can I be the, you know, one of the other guys?
Yeah. You know, because you keep on, you know, I'm reading it right now. We're like, wait a minute.
Oh, wait a minute.
Gotcha.
I'm serious. He called. Listen, you got to realize, we do talk radio. Mike calls up. He says he's blind. We believe it. Then Mike says, well, I'm reading it right now.
Well, I'm willing to prove it. Next time you buy a new car, come on by and hand me the keys, and I'll show you within a quarter mile that I'm blind. Let's just do it here in a junkyard so the towing bill ain't too high.
No.
Okay, I can see why Kasich goes against the grain a bit. Well, he was on Fox News for a long time, 6 years.
Yeah.
But he was an investment banker, and he worked for Lehman Brothers. He was a managing director of Lehman Brothers in Columbus, Ohio. Uh-huh. And we know that Lehman Brothers completely collapsed and is out of business. Uh-huh. So he probably saw there that pulling the company line and doing things against what you think is best, he saw a debacle there. So I'll
put it to you this way. The man really cares.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he really cares, and I can't take that from him. I may not agree with everything that he does, but he really cares. He really is concerned about doing things better, and he's concerned about the poor man and the average man in the room. Because he understands, because he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Right.
I might be more inclined to trust Republicans on a local level, state local level, more so than in the White House.
I just fell off my chair.
I know.
hell, you wouldn't have had civil rights if it wasn't for Republicans on a national level.
Not necessarily so, but that's another discussion.
I know we make statements out of emotions.
I'm not making a statement of emotion. It's fact that that civil rights was a Democrat bill, a Democrat proposal.
Excuse
and the
me,
same
it was
thing
proposed.
that happened with Obamacare. They
civil
needed
rights
Republican
was proposed in 1958, and Ted Kennedy blocked it. The Democrat blocked it because the Southern Democrats, who were most of your bigoted people in those days, wouldn't go with it. And they
right,
it
and Ted Kennedy asked me, and JFK as president did what?
But it was well in the plan on the Republican side of the aisle long before JFK.
Wait, I didn't see Republicans.
Hey guys, I gotta pull up a new call. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, is that me?
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell you, I really like your program. I just got onto it here last week because I get tired of listening to that guy from 12 to 3 all the time.
That's good.
But, hey, I mean, I like him. I'm just tired of hearing. I've heard it forever. But I just want to make a comment, one or two. It was really funny. I was watching my friend Lawrence O'Donnell last night.
Yeah?
And he was talking about Kasich. And apparently one of his polling companies is called Public Polling Policy. Have you heard of them?
No, I have not.
They're a liberal polling agency. In any event, According to their polls, Governor Kasich's losing re-election to Ed Fitzgerald, even though 62% of Ohioans don't even know who he is. I found that to be pretty amazing, because I think Kasich's done a really awesome job on both sides of the aisle. And I mean,
he's got an R. He's got
really
an R by his
name. He had a chance to beat Kasich.
I think the polling is skewed. Remember, if you look at the polling from the last election, the last national election, they had, you know, Romney up, and Romney got whipped. So, you know, and it's kind of early in the game. It really is. And, you know, Fitzgerald is out there. People are still upset with Kasich, and it all depends on who you call.
Right.
But when it comes down to really getting the job done, the question is, do you want someone who is going to, who has changed Ohio, who's gone from a 89 cents in a rainy day fund to a $1 billion surplus? That stuff matters.
And not only that, you know, Kasich's not, he's not afraid to buck against his own party. And, I mean, that guy will do what he thinks is best for Ohio.
I did not lie when I said that. He is really all about, you know, he does what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and there's no getting around it.
Yeah, and the one other comment I want to make, the one late girl that's on there was talking about the civil rights. You know, I'm really a big fan of LBJ, and I've read all his books that Robert Caro's written. And, of course, Lincoln freed the slaves, but if it hadn't been for LBJ, the Civil Rights Act would have never gotten through. I mean, he fought that tooth and nail when he was a senator and for years and years, and it's really a great series of books that Caro has written about him. If you ever get a chance, they're very long, but they're very detailed and excellent reading.
His name is Caro?
Really, yeah, Robert Caro.
Okay.
He's written all the books on it, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and he's finally on the final one that I've read the first three. But in any event, Johnson really, you know, he pushed that through at the perfect right time because, you know, Kennedy was assassinated, but just the way the country was going right at 64, LBJ was able to get through so many things that would have never gotten through if there hadn't been an assassination.
Hey, but I got a question for you. Do you know why he passed it?
Do I know why he passed it?
Did the book that you read tell you why he passed it?
Well, I mean, basically it says that, yeah, but the way it was written is that, believe it or not, that Johnson was really believed that he grew up poor, you know, in the Texas land country down there, and he felt that they deserved the rights, the equal rights.
You know what I want
to? Do
you know what I want you to do? I want you to keep on listening in here, because I got to give the devil his due. I appreciate him for signing it, but if you really find out what he signed it, he signed it because of political pressure, and his quote was, "If we give these people their rights, those N-words will vote for us for the next 100 years.
And he also said, I just handed the history.
And the reality probably is,
he had to get the South. You know,
that's true. The reality probably is, the reality is that both are probably true, that he did it for political reasons and to ensure, them voting Democratic. And he probably
wasn't because he really wanted to have equality.
But he can't hear you.
So hold on. Go ahead, okay. Caller. Go ahead, caller.
I'm just saying, you're right, Lyndon Johnson, everything he did was political. Believe me, he was a genius at that. So I do agree that he felt that he would get the minority vote locked up for the Democratic Party for the next 100 years. But at the same time, he knew that they were going to sacrifice the entire southern part of the United States of America, which was a Democratic stronghold all through the 1900s up until that point. And if you've seen, you know, what's happened since the Civil Rights Bill was signed, obviously, you know, the whole South is Republican, conservative Republican now, and it's all because of the Civil Rights Bill.
But nowadays, if you look at the lay of the land and how things are done, it would look as though it would still be that way. Now it's beginning to turn, but the voting upon racial lines has changed somewhat. So the South is not there because of what it is. Now we've just been so miseducated that we don't vote independently either side, and I think that's to the demise of the American standards.
And you know another thing too, before 1964. Well, if you be quiet, I can't.
No, he can't hear you.
Sorry, I can hear him.
Can you? Okay.
Yep.
before 1964, there was no black Democratic first. It was all Republican going all the way back to 1866. So even though those things that was put in place was not enforced and actually tore down by Democrats. So when people make that quote about Republicans don't do this, don't do that, they really are being disingenuous because of the history.
We still know that. Even if you learn, if you already knew that, and then you're just
learning
that. They
can't hear you because you was talking at the same time.
She shook it. You know Diva going to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, the interesting thing about reading that book, I'm sorry, is, you know, I mean, even though blacks did have the right to vote, you know, prior to the Civil Rights Act, it was made so difficult and virtually impossible for them to get to actually register to vote in southern states because, I mean, they really had, you know, in a lot of places, a lot of states down there, they had a 20 or 30 question thing that you had to fill out. And if you got any questions wrong, they would disqualify you from voting. Like if you didn't know who the 10th Precinct Committee was in the 33rd District of Alabama, I mean, that's how racist the whites were in the questioning to try to keep the blacks from having their right to vote. It was really bad.
It pulled taxes. They had a lot of things that are illegal. Not to mention Bull Connor and the dogs and the billy clubs.
Oh, absolutely. It was really ferocious down there. But I would recommend those books to anybody that likes history. They're really worth the time to read. And I took one on vacation. I kind of got in trouble with my wife because I spent more time reading the book than anything else. But I couldn't put it down because that Robert Caro, I don't know how you say his last name, the author, but he writes that book in such detail that, you know, you walk away thinking you know LBJ like he's your grandfather. I mean, it's really great.
Now, why would you do that?
You want to do what?
Take a book like that on vacation with you. You know that your wife was going to be mad.
She took 50 Shades of Gray.
Robert Carroll.
Sounds like he's a geek like me.
You missed what he said.
Robert Carroll was.
I
think Robert Carroll was the author.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling in. What area are you calling in from?
I'm in Boardman.
Okay, we're here every day from noon until 3. Please come back again.
Yeah, put the word out.
Before he goes. Before he goes, I think Robert Carroll.
Pianki, hold on, sweetie. Hey, I got another caller to pull up. Wow.
Boy.
Private caller, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is the number. How you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just calling on the comment that I kind of didn't like that Diva made. Because that's a part of the part of politics I don't like is the fact that if you're a Democrat, you're only going to vote Democrat. If you're Republican, you're only going to vote Republican. And if you get some, I didn't vote for John Kasich, but if he does a good job, I'll vote for him next time. And if you don't, I mean, if you say you like what he's done, but you're not going to vote for him, but you're not going to vote for a Democrat, then that leaves the door open for someone to get in there and do a bad job. If you know someone did a good job, even though they're not what you call a Democrat or Republican, I think we should. I mean, that's what I hate about it, and that's what makes me not want to have anything to do with it, because if someone does a good job, you should vote them back in instead of leaving the door open for someone else to come in and do a bad job.
It is my American right to vote or not vote.
Diva, hold on. Go ahead, because I got some other calls to pull up.
But what happens when you don't vote and you let someone get in and they do a bad job and turn things around when they're going to?
Diva, don't answer yet.
But then when you talk about being a Christian, where does that come in at then? Because we as Christians are supposed to do the right thing no matter what.
Diva,
I don't want you to answer them yet. I still got to pull up some other calls, okay?
I just called in just to say that I've been listening, and I just wanted to call in and just say that's just part of politics that I don't agree with.
Make sure you don't get so discouraged that you don't vote. We got to educate more people to think independently.
I vote all the time, and I probably made a mistake this time by not voting for I mean, he got in, so if he do a good job, I'll vote for him next time.
And that's the thing, the proof's in the pudding. You know, if you got a good guy, keep it.
Hold on. South Carolina, your mic is on. 482, your mic is on. Bonnie?
Yeah, I'm here. I've been in and out of the conversation today
because
I was working and then I was listening to the radio. And but you asked Sal to come on, so I'll wait for Sal.
South Carolina is still muted.
Oh,
okay.
There he is.
Well,
see, that's why I don't pull him up.
Uh oh. he probably had to take the dogs out.
What dogs?
He has a dog. You know, he's told you that on the show before. Had to take his dogs out.
Jeff, your mic is on. And quit ordering stuff while you go through and keeping your mic on.
Sorry about that. I had the popo rolling up on me. I had to do something about it.
What's the popo?
The popo
police?
Are the police.
Oh.
And I almost hit some unruly people in a car running with stop signs just now. Anyway, check this out. A young man was incorrect about Johnson if it had not been for Johnson. It would have passed by the time Nixon got there had not Johnson got it passed, because Johnson only passed civil rights to keep peace at home while he was making sure that the war in Vietnam could excel. I say this each and every time, and I couldn't stand. I did not. I've been listening to the show all afternoon. You know I was wanting to call, but I could not let that one stand. That was one of the lines I can't let stand. Now, Johnson did not want civil rights to pass, as he and JFK killed Eisenhower's bill in 57. So don't give me this if it had not been for Johnson. If it had not been for Everett Dirksen, the minority whip, that bill would not have passed, because he collected the votes for it and bent the arms in even some of the Southern Democrats to go along and vote for that bill, because he was just that kind of guy that could get things done. It has nothing to do with Johnson, because don't forget Johnson's famous quote: "We may have lost the South, but them niggas will vote for us for the next 200 years." Okay, that's what Johnson.
He told
the
Thurgood Marshall he wasn't going to be the justice too.
Thank you, Bianchi. Thank you for telling the truth on the radio. These people are nothing but a racist, SOBs. That's why you still have in their party platform the abortion, because it kills off more black people than it kills off anybody. But that's all right. Y'all be just as happy.
Right.
Yeah, right there.
Right, to put all those abortion clinics walking distance in the black community.
Let me say one thing.
Let me pull up everybody that needs to be pulled up. How's that? Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes,
okay.
Steve.
I wanted to say today is my day, and
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Steve.
That I talk about.
Oh, man, Steve. There you go. Just say thank you.
Oh. Who said something there?
Oh.
Everybody said something.
Happy birthday, Steve.
There you go. He called in.
Bring up the music.
Diva, say happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Oh, thank you, Diva. Thank you.
He gets a thank you. I get a dissertation. Jeez, old man.
Diva and Stevie sitting in the tree.
No,
K-I-S.
No.
I did have something to say.
Go ahead.
No, I don't have anything to say. I just called to say hi to
Diva. You called to say hi to Diva. You definitely didn't call to say hi to me. I understand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Happy birthday, Steve.
How you doing today, Mel?
Feelings.
How you doing, Steve?
No, I don't. That's all right, Steve. You don't have to talk to me. I'm all right.
No, I mean, you know, you and I, I'm cool with you, and I like you, Miss Tracy.
I like you too.
What I had to say, Miss Tracy, is that I had to ask is that how long black people has been a part of the Democratic Party, because at one time we were a part of the Republican Party,
Steve, you know that answer. You just called up to start a mess. You know that answer. You've been talking about. You've been listening to me for the last 7 years, and all of a sudden you come up with a question that you know the answer to.
No, I don't. Because, I mean,
50 years.
50 years.
50 years. Black folks have been voting ever since the Civil Rights Act.
Ever since? Well, no, actually, it started when JFK wrote the letter.
Well, actually, before then, because remember, some
that's
of them
right, they rallied around FDR and Woody Wall.
Right. They rallied around him, and then they went to Roosevelt. Roosevelt was a Democrat.
Right. Right. They rallied around Woodrow Wilson
for
whatever reason because he fired them all once he got elected president.
No, he did that because of Frederick Douglass. There was a deal supposed to be cut.
Oh, okay.
Woodrow Wilson. I've read about him. He was unashamed with his racism.
Right.
No. He lied to Frederick Douglass. Back in, during
black
that election.
Black started leaving the Republicans because they failed to keep their promise by lynching and anti-lynching laws. That's when the movement started.
I hate generalizing entire
but isn't this
groups
correct?
Of people
the Democratic
like this.
The Party was first started by, I think, the
Ku Klux Klan.
Right, and so in other words, here we as black people, we're going for a group that once did harm to us. We have benefited as over the past. Let's see.
Steve, it's because of lack of education. It's not about, social programs is a caveat that comes with it. It's like a carrot. But you find out when you bite into the carrot is rotten. It's because of education that we have not learned how to garner our vote to where it's going to benefit us best. So no matter what anybody says, we listen to the media, and we've been brainwashed over the years to follow the leader instead of lead and tell them what we want and get what we need.
That's, yeah.
The origins of the Democratic Party are with the Federalist Party.
Hold on, Steve. What did you say, Brown?
The origins of the Democratic Party begin with the Federalist Party.
Okay.
It's evolved into the Democratic Party, just like the Whigs. The Whigs was the origins of the Republicans.
Okay.
Well, at one point they were one party, though.
It was called the Democrat Republican Party.
Right.
There was a party.
There was
a Democratic Republican Party.
Right.
There was,
but it's not the same people.
Correct.
The Democrat Party
was birthed out of, or the Ku Klux Klan was birthed out of the Democrat Party.
Right, and I want to say that an educated black populace would vote the same way everybody else does, 40-40-20, because they should vote the way they're educated as far as the political process, and if they were honestly educated, they would vote 40% Republican, 40% Democrat, and 20% Independent, like the general population.
But no,
do
we
know
should
why,
not follow the white
you
man
why,
in the general
you know
population.
Why that
we
hasn't
need to vote
happened?
We need to vote the way that other groups do, based upon what they're going to get out of it and their need. That's
but
the
you know
problem.
Why
that,
but,
that's
but,
right. But,
may
but,
I, may
you
I
don't
say
get
something?
The group, but the group would
may
have,
I say something?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wouldn't the group have diverse interests like every other group?
Say something?
No.
Okay.
You can't do that.
I'm
no.
asking may I say something instead of just blurting it out. So.
No. Listen, hold on. I got 10 minutes. When you're saying that, remember in the 60s when we actually were a part of the civil rights legislation, when we were fighting for civil rights, we all had the same common goal.
Okay.
We should not morph into the mainstream public of doing what they do. Because what I found out with the mainstream, or how white people vote, because that's how we were putting it.
Okay, I shouldn't have put it that way.
But you did, so okay. I'm gonna answer the way you put it. If we do it like that, we'll end up right where we are anyhow. We need to vote in the best interest of our community at large, because we should be a community which, and even though we have separate interests, we should be doing things that's going to be best for our community, because we all
that's
come
true.
Out of the community. The problem is we're not doing that, and we're following somebody, and we think that they love us and they hate us. And we're ignoring other people because we think that they hate us, but they ignore us. But we need to go and garner our vote, which is going to give us the most leverage so that we can get what's necessary so that we can become better. Because as a whole, no matter where we are in the socioeconomic development of this whole plethora of policies, we're still losing.
There's a lot of people.
And the key word there is economics.
Right.
We're still losing. We still don't own anything. We still don't manufacture anything. We're still not doing anything that we have control over. We have no industry of our own, and we still have a hard time culminating our resources for the economic success and the educational attainment of our own community. So even though we can assimilate into mainstream, we still have a huge plethora of issues that we should not walk away from. Because as long as one child cannot read, and as long as one child is not eating, and as long as one man cannot get a job, and as long as one woman goes out and has a boatload of kids and no man, we all have a problem in general. And we need to take care of our home because charity begins at home.
But isn't that what Melissa Harris Perry said and y'all laughed at? I don't know if it was you, but there was
Diva, that's not what she said. That is not what she said.
No, she said that children belong to everybody.
And I didn't say that. I said, but I said a person's problems are still my problems because if I ignore those, it's going to come back and bite me in the end. Me and Melissa Harris Perry have nothing in common, and that is one woman that I don't hate, but I do not respect in any way, shape, or form. Out of all the African American people, she is one of the people that I loathe.
Y'all just said the same thing, though. You can loathe her, but y'all just said
I did not say the same thing because she believes something totally different. Because I am going to help you as long as you stand on your own two feet. But the day that you fall down and don't want to become dead weight, it's the day that I'm going to leave you behind. She wants to do the Peter Pan thing. I'm going to steal from everybody else and leave people that don't want to work.
Oh,
go ahead, Brown.
This is Alabama.
No, that was Brown. I got to let Brown in before I have to
give him a turn. Well, real quick, part of the reason why black people don't vote 40-40-20 is because of probably much longer before, but in the last 40 years is because of the way racial politics or the way race is interjected into the different political races. When Richard Nixon came into the office, it was after a lot of rioting in Newark, Detroit, Washington, D.C., after there were 4 or 5 years of riots, and he ran on a law and order campaign. And the picture or the image that was in people's minds was rioting black people, tearing up and burning up the cities and threatening the whole infrastructure.
One of the reasons blacks vote Democrat is because they vote Democrat at a local level. They are being exploited by black Democrats. There ain't no white Republicans in these areas. You got Nick Rose that's out there cutting black's throat worse than anybody else can. I can name a whole bunch of them.
Right.
And he's right.
I asked you guys a question, Tracy, go ahead. Let me finish my thought.
Hold on, Rick. Go ahead. Hold on, Brown. Go ahead, Rick, because I only got the full 7 minutes. Go ahead, Rick.
Listen, with all of the adults on the line and the intelligence and the education that you guys have, my question for all of you is, do the most powerful people in the world need your vote, or do they look at your vote somewhat like a petition, like the way Jay-Z was being petitioned to have his clothing line taken out of the store, but realistically he's not going to do it just because he's gotten majority people to agree with the black public to say we should take you should take your clothing line out of the store. Do the most powerful people in the world say, here, we'll give you a vote, but at the end of the day, I'm going to make a decision because none of you guys are going to hold me accountable for the decisions that I'm going to make.
The most powerful people in the world are not the politicians. The most powerful people in the world are the people that control the politicians, and that's the money.
Okay, so hold on. Then what does your vote matter with the most powerful people in the world?
Because in the United States at least, and it may be to the point where we're just to the point where it's just an appearance, they have to manipulate your vote so it looks like and you think you're getting what they want you to have. Would you agree with
that? Just to add to what Brown said, I feel like black people vote Democrat as well because they don't own anything. They don't produce anything. So they want a strong government to give them because they don't produce it. You want high tax rates.
If we own something,
we want lower taxes because we want to keep what we earn.
You're partially right. Black vote don't mean nothing because they don't pay for it. Somebody else is paying for it. They just merely vote.
Okay, but hold on, guys. They vote to receive it.
That's what they do.
Voting?
No. What they do is, remember, I keep on telling you guys, poor folk make money. You just don't get it. But you make money for somebody else. There is an industry on poor folk. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money on poor.
There is trickle up. Just start at the poor person and go from the social worker and work it all the way back up the chain. That's the trickle up.
I mean, common sense. Everybody on this phone, if I gave everybody on this phone $1 million, they would want to pay as little in taxes as they can. Common sense.
Common sense is one thing, but when I say this, poor people make money for people that have money. And we need to understand that there's a commodity in poor. Hold on. Private caller, your mic is on. The new private caller, the one with the unlisted number that's not Brown.
See, I bit my tongue.
Hello?
All right.
He
don't want to talk. All I'm saying is...
Go ahead.
All I'm saying, Trace, is we got a dilemma. They got us running around here like mice and rats, trying to figure out whether we're voting for the right thing that's in our best interest. And the truth of the matter is the whole thing is going to hell. Now, I'm really frustrated, Trace, because I don't understand. You're telling me voting my best interest, and when I do think I'm voting in my best interest, I find the worst thing happen.
Because you got people sitting at the table, and instead of them standing up for us and fighting on behalf of us, they sell us out at the table.
That's what politicians do, and as long as
we're not talking about politicians, that's not really what they do.
They do that because they are not behooving to the people that they represent. Blacks
they're
don't pay for their
the
own politics.
That gets
Come on,
elected.
Let's admit that.
Why am I expecting them to be beholden to me? Why am I not holding them accountable for
what's going on
in the community?
You don't pay for their campaign. Somebody else is.
No, I'm not talking about that. Pianki, hold on, Pianki. Listen, this is what happens. I go in and I broker a deal with whatever candidate. And out of this, I get a job or I get a placement or I get a feel-good feeling. I get a smile and I get a hug and I get a kiss. And I go out and tell everybody that you are the best thing since sliced bread. And I go out and toot your horn, and I carry your water. If they say it's racist, I say it's racist. If they say it's pink, I say it's pink. Whatever they tell me to say, I go and say. And then I come back, and you go out and vote for this person. I get a job, and they do what they choose to do, and I look as though it's a Sambo thing.
I give you another example. When polled, most blacks want school choice. But who are the politicians afraid of? They're afraid of the teachers' union because the teachers' union will go out and fund somebody to run against them. They ain't scared of the blacks that want school choice. They're scared of the teachers' unions.
So
hey, listen, I'll be back tomorrow.
These politicians teachers aren't scared of strong. The people. They're scared of the people that pay for their positions in power. That's what you're saying?
Absolutely.
You're saying?
On the local level, maybe on the local level, but on the national level, they're not. And big money controls politics, and big money contributes equally. They don't lose because they bet both sides. They hedge their bets.
If I got you conditioned in a certain behavior on a local level, you're going to act out that same behavior on a national level.
More than likely. And as long as race is interjected and
let me tell you how it goes. When blacks go to the polls, they ask for what? They ask for the slate.
The Republicans do the same thing. They vote the same way. I know people.
Yeah, but what do they get out of it, Beasley? Come on.
Everybody gets screwed. The answer's not in politics. It's going to take the creator above to make some real change around here.
Oh, here we go with that. Okay.
No, that's what I believe, but
hey, well,
I'm not going to dispute or agree
with any of that. All I'm saying is I'm convinced that they got everybody tricked to make us believe that voting is really making a difference, and realistically, we only know
voting does make a difference. When you drive by a commercial construction site, see who's working. Even in your own, you don't have to drive far, drive in your own neighborhood. So it is working for somebody else. It's not
true.
Working for you.
That is true.
But what does that have to do with my vote?
I don't do construction work myself, but he's got a point.
What does that have to do with my vote?
Your vote don't. You just go through the moment, man. Dude, have you ever had a black politician ask you for money?
I've had every politician ask me for money.
I'm talking about him.
They're like preachers. They're like preachers. They all ask me for money.
They don't come up and ask you for no major contributions. John Conyers has been in politics for 47 years, longer than Gaddafi.
They call me.
He didn't go. If he had to depend on the black community to fund his political campaigns, he would suffer very, very handily. So you're behooving to the people that pay your way.
Well,
$15,000 a month.
I know black people that do contribute to campaigns.
$15,000. Well, yeah, I do too. I know some that do because they want something out of them. They got the money to do too.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about the common person.
They want access.
$15,000, $15,000 to $25,000 a month in pension, over, depending on you to pay for it. They depending on somebody else to keep them in there, whereas they can qualify for that.
Yeah, all I'm saying, Pianchi, is what does that have to do with my vote, dude? All I'm saying is we've been brainwashed to believe that Martin Luther King was fighting for our right to vote, and I'm convinced that we ain't voting for shit.
Your vote on the local level, I think, is more important than it is on a national level.
Right. They're more accountable. They're more accountable. No, they're more accountable. He's right.
I believe
they're more accountable.
You can see where they live. You know, go out and march and carry coffins back and forth in front of their house.
That ain't got nothing to do with whether or not you vote here. Look at this. Look at every city in America, especially the smaller cities. Not so much the major cities. The major cities look like they're doing better than the smaller cities. But look at the smaller cities, and you tell me. With their vote, the inner city people, their vote is really making a difference in the area. You tell me that.
You know where really blacks need to be is in some small towns. The hell with them cities, where they can control the revenue of the town through their commerce and so on and so on.
But Pianchi,
when you start revenue sharing and stuff like that, you get shafted all the time.
But Pianchi, the manufacturing base. And the infrastructure and the industry that once exists in these mid-level cities, you know, 100,000 to 500,000 people that you're speaking of no longer exists.
No, they're
well, you're right.
You
it don't exist
with?
No more.
Right.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry. What's your question? What'd you say?
Do you know what they're replacing them with? You know what they're replacing those big steel mills with? They're replacing them with call centers. You go
right.
to any
well,
small town,
you,
and I guarantee
you know what,
you've got
and,
at least
and they're,
five
and they're,
call
and they're lucky to get a call center there because I didn't even know they were had that many call centers in the U.S. because every time I call for customer service, I got to talk to somebody in the Philippines, India, or in Mexico.
You know
oh,
what
yeah,
happened?
Yeah.
You know the
yeah,
last
yeah.
opportunity to bring industry to black cities was prisons. Prisons weren't built in the city. They were built in a way outskirts area.
Right. And nobody what's the saying? Not in my backyard.
If
nobody
black
wants
right,
to
you're absolutely right.
Right.
I argue with a politician about that. If you really want to help unemployment in the black community, well, build those prisons in the community where the people that occupy them is coming from.
At
least
all
the
people.
Money,
and think
yeah.
of all the money they'll save on gas as they ship all the people from the city from the prisons to the city. They
you're
don't have to drive
right.
200 miles away. That was a joke, and you took that serious. But no,
No, I'm serious about it. Look what it would have done.
That's a growing industry. That's a growing industry, and somebody on another show made a point.
And guess who pays for the prisons? The states merely lease the prisons from companies that build the prisons for the state on a 30-year lease with a guarantee that they would be 95% full. So if you're going to have that kind of cutthroat, drastic situation, you should build four or five prisons within the inner city. That way you put the people in the inner city to work. It's their kids that's up in there anyway.
Oh, boy. Can only talk this shit on the radio, Pianki. I know you piss people off when you say it in person, but it is what
it is.
You're entitled to think what you want.
But don't it make sense?
There's some logic to it, yes. But the whole
idea. When those prisoners are shipped out of your community, you lose community development block grant money because you lose the population.
They could sure take some of these prisoners to clean up the freeways and all the damn garbage like the that's another thing. But
your police forces are in your cities have a predominance of white police officers. They don't live in the city. They come from these outskirt areas where their mothers and their fathers, their brothers, they have lost industry and they got a prison there. So they got to do what they can to make sure those prisons are full.
That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. They advertise where I grew up in Inglewood, and which is like right in the middle of Los Angeles. It's just a municipality inside of Los Angeles. Where I grew up in Inglewood, they advertise for these police officers in Arkansas, Tennessee, and in Alabama. And they spoke of it, and they come out there and they come to the hood, and
and they go to work locking up black youth, sending them to prisons.
Black in the Latins, but you know,
we ain't got no Latins here in St. Louis like y'all got out there, yeah. So that's what it is, and people don't realize that. And guess who go along with that? Your black state elected politicians, your state reps.
Brown.
Yeah, they do.
Can you hear me? Brown.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I was just going to say, that's what's going on here in Youngstown. We got prisons here in Youngstown right in the city, but most of them who work there are Caucasian. And then they did the same thing with the police. One of the police, he lived outside the city, he filed a lawsuit because they said he had to live inside the city. He filed a lawsuit, ended up winning. Now all the police moved outside the city.
A lot of cities lately have started making an ordinance that you can't be a police officer if you don't
live
in the city limits.
Well, yeah, but they can only do that for so many years, according to the court. So blacks are still today caught up in these. They caught up in some tremendous stuff even still today. They just don't realize it.
Well,
and the sad thing is you got black politicians that make a living off of black suffrage.
Yeah.
Just like you had Italian mafia making money off of the poorer Italians, people, you know, someone that's heartless and soulless doesn't care who they
But what you said there, you got black, you have Italians making money off of Italians. Where do blacks we talking about individuals. I'm talking about where do blacks as groups, as business people, profit off of black spending, black access to subsidized dollars and so forth. That goes on hardly no place at all.
No.
I don't think he's
no. And a perfect place for it to go on would be your corner markets, you know, that are all over everywhere and they're usually not owned by a black person, and they're right in the middle of the black community. They're owned by Koreans, Arabs, every other ethnic group.
So if you don't have no business, your politics is going to be stinky. That's just it. If you ain't paying for the politician where you can hold him accountable and fire his ass or her ass if they don't do what you want them to do, then I'm sorry. You're going to continue to have these discussions on these very topics. Well, anyway, I hear the bells ringing.
In the north end of town, which is where I grew up, it was a predominantly black section of town. All the businesses were owned by black businessmen, from the funeral homes and the bars and the pool hall and all that was all black enterprise.
Mm. Well, that's the way it should be.
I'm beginning to feel real blessed having grown up there because, you know, that we had ethnic parts of town, and then you go to another part of town, it'd be predominantly Portuguese people, and those were merchants there, and another part would be German people, and they'd be the merchants there, and the Italian part of town was mainly the Italians had the little businesses and stuff.
You're talking about Youngstown?
No, I'm talking about Waterbury, Connecticut, which is a big industrial center, 120,000 people in the heyday.
Well,
Waterbury, Connecticut.
Yep.
Is that like Mayberry?
Is that
nowhere? No.
During World War II, up until 1960, Waterbury was one of the major capitals of the world because anything you found anywhere in the world made out of brass or had a piece of brass in it came through that town. The factories would have 4,000 or 5,000 people a shift at a factory. I mean, these were huge industry there. It was during World War II, all the shell casings, timer fuses, all that, all your wristwatches were made, your buckles. It was huge, and it was a priority one target. To this day, the City Hall still has the mounts on top for the anti-aircraft guns, thinking the Germans were going to bomb Waterbury. It was a huge industrial center.
So you're talking about before segregation.
When I grew up in the 50s and 60s.
I mean,
into the
70s. Right. So as segregation was ending in, you know, I used to shake my head when people would say that the end of segregation really was a death bell for black communities.
Well, it was, but it's the truth.
No, I used to have problems with it, but it's the truth. People were allowed can go and shop anywhere, and they decided to go outside of their own community, and it didn't support the merchants there.
Look at the tens of thousands that lost their jobs during the desegregation of schools. Black teachers, principals, administrators, you had like 35, 40,000 that they know of that lost their jobs because of that.
See, our police department, we had black officers, and our fire department, we had a lot of black officers. We were a melting pot. We truly were. Matter of fact, demographically, we had the right percentages of the way the rest of the United States census looks. So, like, when they wanted to do marketing surveys, they used to do them in my town because if it flew in my town, it flew. And it would go national then because the numbers would work. But so a lot of the stuff you guys are talking about, see, I never saw any of that, especially in the inner city project where I grew up. We didn't look at black and white. We were all just poor. That was our common label, you know. I long for that some days, because this whole thing has just gotten complicated. Like you said, one of you said earlier on the call here, there is no simple solution to any of this anymore. It's gotten way too complicated. And it's gotten complicated because of the politics of it, not because of the hearts of the people like you and me. We could sit down and talk.
No. Right.
I'm not trying to get over on you. You're not trying to get over on me. Heck, we'd be neighbors in a different reality, you know. But they've got this thing just... They make money by keeping us divided and arguing.
That's true.
You know, it's nothing wrong with people living where they feel comfortable. You know, you have populations where you have nearly 99% black. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
What's wrong is when you tell somebody else they can't live in it. You know, out in North Dakota, Leet, the town in North Dakota, you got a white man by the name of Mr. Cobb, so he wants to make that town a white town. That expresses white heritage and so on and so on. Well, there's nothing wrong with what he wants to do.
No.
He's not saying nobody else can't move in the town, but you got those who are saying what the man is doing is racist. Nothing wrong with that. Whites have a right to appreciate and celebrate their own heritage. Confederate relatives, descendants, have a right to appreciate and celebrate the Confederacy.
Sure.
My goodness.
And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago here, and I made the comment, and I really think this is true. Black is no longer a race in the United States. Black is a culture unto itself with its own preferences and everything else. And if somebody wants to live in a predominant black neighborhood that has the culture that they feel more comfortable being around, or white, or whatever, you're right. This should just be the flow. As long as in that process, they are not interfering with somebody else living the way they want to live.
That's That's right.
You know, I think there's an American culture. I mean, there may be a black culture within the American culture.
Well,
I don't know
what
the
ethnicity is.
But I think a lot of, I think all of that has to do with socioeconomic levels. Because
not really, because within those cultures you have some rich people. I mean, you have subcultures within America. For instance, the Asian culture here in the United States. Look how rich these people are. They are well to do off. So, and they continue to celebrate and live by their own traditions that they have been passed down to them, and they consider themselves American. It's nothing wrong with that.
Oh,
I don't have a problem with it.
And maybe that's the better way to describe it. That the experience of being black in the United States, if you look at it almost as its own ethnic group, with a preference in music and food and clothing and purchasing, you know, items that they purchase. At the poverty, you can't deny. It's a disproportionate in the black community. You can't deny that.
And the only way that poverty is going to be changed, they're going to have to change it themselves. Others are not going to change your social economic state of being at the expense of their own.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
it doesn't look too good. I sound like a conservative now talking, but it doesn't look too good with the amount of children that are being born without, you know, a father in their life.
Yeah.
Well, we need to change. That needs to be changed. That has to be changed by the
government. As long as the government is sponsoring this, and it just seems to continue more and more, and you have the images and you have the images being promoted in the music, and I listened to the music and but 20 years later, I see the effects. I see the effects of these images and constantly being pumped out there. It almost seems like it's all by design. You have privatized prisons. You have kids that are growing up